know, real guys talk real sports. He will. Ray, Marcus, Gary, Shane, start to get real. These are the kind of guys I need to have in the locker room. The championship type guys. Certain guys, you just got to recognize, I got to pay the money. I got to keep it. Everybody has an opinion.
They came with so much bravado and so much swagger.
We're not going to make it. Sometimes you got to clear space where there's no space.
I can't argue with LeBron's decision.
I do have a bit of a problem with execution. Right?
He burned a lot of bridges. He's going to be hated in Chicago. He's going to be hated in Cleveland. He's going to be hated in New York. And that's what I'm excited to see.
Now, I blame it on Nintendo. I blame it on the fact that they never played against a team that's going to be as dominant as this team could be.
The true villain team. The team that everybody wants to smack in the mouth every time they play them. All right, fellas, we in here. We in here. Welcome to Real Sports Guys, where real guys talk real sports. It's your boy Marcus, the Game Changer, holding it down with my man D. Wills, and we got Ray on the line also. And we got a jam-packed show lined up with y'all, lined up for y'all, rather. And it's been going down this week. There's been a lot of things happening. NBA season kicking off. The NFL just went bonkers this week. We're going to dig into that right away. So we got a whole lot to get into, so we're going to jump right into it. If you want to get on the line, feel free to call in 1-347-989-0844. That's 1-347-989-0844. Call in and get on with the Real Sports Guys. Fellas, y'all know where we're going right away. We got to go to my man Randy. My man Randy is out there bad right now. I mean, I got him on my fantasy team, and that's the only team he belongs to right now. This man ain't got a real team. You know, the man who gave us this quote right here. That man is without a job right now. My man Randy, he's in straight cash, homie. He's without cash. He's without a gig. So, I mean,
he ain't without cash.
And see, this is where it started. I'm gonna play the clip where it started. I got some audio for us, and this is where it all went a little bit awry, right here.
Look, I got fined $25,000 for not talking to you all, and me personally, I really don't care. But at the same time, answer questions throughout the week. But for the league to fine me $25,000, I'm not gonna answer any more questions for the rest of this year. If it's gonna be an interview, I'm gonna conduct it. So I'll answer my own questions, ask myself the questions, then give y'all the answers.
My bro likes 100s in the box.
Straight cash, homie.
That's how you get down, baby.
I'm going to interview myself.
Yeah, man.
You know, all I can say about this is, and I'm not going to focus this as much. I want to focus on Randy, but to me, there are reasons why certain teams continue to win, be on top, and make the right decisions. And from the beginning, we've been talking about Minnesota, and I question so many of the decisions that seem to be very short-term decisions that, you know, that aren't built around having a sustainable long-term success for their franchise, how they handle Favre, the decision to get Moss, all these things. And what's so crazy about it is they got this great young running back who's getting older by the day that is they're losing an opportunity to feature. And it just from that, and you know, who's running the shop kind of thing, is my biggest thing. But they knew what they were getting with Randy. You know, it wasn't like they were surprised about it. It wasn't like everybody knew Randy runs like one or two routes. He doesn't run hard on every down. That's not going to change at this point in his career. And you had to figure out whether or not you're going to live with it. You knew he was going to be a little bit crazy on some issues. He's going to flare up a little bit. That's why he ended up with you, because he flared up on some issues. And Belichick and them always know when they always know, they're like a great stockbroker. They know when the stock is going down. They get out. They know when to sell right away. And now Randy's getting reflective. This is seated in how his life is beginning. It's the reason why he started at Florida State. You know, then they got suspended, kicked out, or whatever. And he ended up at Marshall. I mean, he's had a life of poor decisions, being in the midst of things that continues to this day. And at what point, you know, does he realize that it's a privilege to be in the NFL, and there's certain things you just do. And so this, I mean, it's so many things tied up into this, I just can't, you know, get my hands around all of it.
Yeah, man. I got the news, you know, Monday afternoon, I think like everybody else, and I was baffled. I was like, seriously? And to me, this is Childress. This is Childress. Right. And this is this organization, and this shows how much disarray this team is in. It's just unbelievable. I feel bad for Adrian Peterson. I feel bad for that defense. I feel bad for all the players who are holding down their end of the bargain. And you got the coach, you got the quarterback, just being morons, being cold-blooded morons right now. And Chili, I mean, it's life to be when all your devils come to collect at once. You know what I'm saying? These brothers have made a bunch of deals with the devil, and the devil has come to collect today.
Right.
And because of that, Chili's whole situation is in disarray. His whole situation is chaos. I mean, that team is in chaos right now. There's no direction. And again, you know, Adrian Peterson is the new Barry Sanders.
Right.
He's the new Barry. Right. He's stuck making plays for a team that ain't never going to win nothing and ain't never going nowhere at this point. They had a window that was open. They had a 2 or 3 window that was open. They brought in Brett Favre because they wanted to seize the moment. And last year was it. Last year was that. I think last year when Favre threw that pick six, that was the end of it. I think he shut the window on his team. And he maybe should have just stayed his ass at home.
And the part I would add on is that where they don't have a plan is they had a draft where you had several – talented quarterbacks. A lot of them fell to the second round. And to not draft one of those, you know, young, talented quarterbacks, you know, that coming out of college, one of those guys, and have them on your roster tucked away for a moment like this. And not to say that Tavares Jackson can't do it, but to not build some depth around that so that, you know, the way they handled Favre is a lot like I got on Joe Dumars about how he handled Rasheed Wallace. You got to have that cat that when Rasheed acts up, you know you can bring him to the bench and still win games.
Mm-hmm.
And Rasheed going to play better as long as he knows that cat, you know, when they let Mehmet Okur go, that's the cat that can shoot the three, space the floor, play defense, kind of do some of the things that Rasheed can do. Same thing with Favre. You know, you got to let Favre know, you know, I'm not that enamored with your streak. You know, it's like, it's cool, but it's about winning. As long as you're winning, I'm cool with it. As long as we ain't, I got somebody here to step in when you don't act right. The one saving grace that they're going to have is what's happening in Washington, because they might be able to get Donovan McNabb. And that might be the one saving grace they could have to get some veteran quarterback to go. But they don't seem like they got a long-term plan, and whether that's Chili or that's people above him, the organization just doesn't seem like they have a long-term plan about what they want to get done. They just seem to be reacting to everything. And they don't act like the Indianapolis Colts. They don't act like the New England Patriots. They don't act like the Pittsburgh Steelers, where you feel like there's a plan for the organization about where they want to go. They don't even act like the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, they seem like there's a plan, a succession plan, there's something. These guys don't seem like they have a plan at all. And if that starts with Chili, then maybe that means that's why he's going to be gone. But my sense is that I've watched the ownership, and they're driving some of this too, and they kind of in the background, but my sense is that the ownership doesn't have a lot of direction either.
Yeah. I want to let Ray jump in and give his take on the Randy situation, and then I got this Randy Moss song I'm going to break out for the listeners out there. So go ahead, Ray. Give us your take on the situation.
You know, my understanding is that the ownership didn't really know, you know, to what extent Childress was going to treat Moss. And it came as a surprise to the ownership that he was let go. You know, that was, you know, when they said that he was going to the waivers, you know, the ownership was reluctant to follow through with that. And so it just, you know, Childress is, you know, the whole thing in Minnesota, and what you're going to see play out is that Childress is absolutely done. He's lost control of his locker room. He's lost control of his field general status. You know, he does not run that team, and he's absolutely done. With or without Brett Favre, he's you know, and he may never coach again. But some of the decisions that he's made, it's just, you know, it's absolutely baffling to me. You know, they talked about him being gone in Minnesota before Favre came last year. When he brought Favre in, you know, they let him stay. They even signed him to an extension. And so, you know, this year, this is just turning out to be, you know, his exposure. You know, Childress just standing up there naked. Everybody can see him for who he is now. He's not that good of a coach. And if you listen to some of the interviews, Percy Harvin was more critical of Childress than Randy Moss. And nothing that I've heard so far, and I haven't been privileged, of course, to some of the conversations after the game, but I don't understand exactly what it was that caused them to cut ties with Randy Moss. Was it the play that he gave up on, or supposedly gave up on? He did draw an interference penalty. Could he have made that play? You know, and who's to say? You know, he's running the route. He sees the ball. He's interfered with, so he stops, slows down, or whatever. Is everybody else so good at what they do that they can say he should have made that catch? He should have caught that touchdown. Is that, you know, is that absolute? It was him running the route. It was him that got bumped. It was him that slowed down. So, you know, I've never known, you know, they talk about Randy taking off plays. I've never known him to take off a touchdown. I've never known that he's just, you know, dropped a ball on purpose. You know, I think at the end of the day, we have to remember that I believe, and I think a lot of other people believe, that Randy Moss is as good a football player as Brett Favre. And when you let Randy Moss go, it's kind of like when you hear the old story about people kicking their dog when grandma farts, you know? It ain't his fault. It ain't his fault, but he's out of a job today. He's out of a job today. Was it because, you know, people didn't like what he said, you know, about, you know, or Childress didn't care for what he said about Belichick and, you know, him, about him being, you know, maybe the greatest coach in history and how he missed the other team. You know, are those things that you fire somebody for, or do you go to your locker room and go, look, what is it about our locker room that you don't like? You know, it's just bizarre to me.
One thing I wanted to add, Ray, I don't know if you heard about the incident that happened in the locker room on Friday. I heard a couple of people talk about where they have this buffet that they do that it's kind of a tribute. And it's a mom and pop shop that does this thing. And so Randy went through the buffet line and said, you know, it could be heard by anyone, including the people who own the place, you know, I wouldn't feed this to my dog. And so you know, there have been a couple of incidents, but what they're reporting, though, is that, you know, a lot of people were upset about those comments in terms of this was like an aggregate thing. So this was like the icing on the cake. And I think it said including Brett Favre, that they couldn't believe some of his behavior, and then on top of how he performed. So there were some things that were eroding in the locker room that some key leaders were like, oh, this ain't going to go down in the locker room. And so I think some of those reports haven't quite surfaced a lot that Randy was doing, that people just realized this is not going to be good for our locker room. We already got some bad stuff going on, and this kind of is icing on the cake, and we just can't have you treating anybody you want to treat the way you want to treat it.
Yeah. Here's my question. Sorry to interrupt, but here's my question. Where does he wind up? What is your take on where he winds up? Where are some places that Randy Moss can end up?
He might end up back in New England. Not a chance.
Well, I don't think he'll clear waivers. It's a two-sided thing. You know, how many teams could afford, after what, you know, New England's been doing the past few weeks, how many teams can afford to let Randy Moss go back to New England? You can't let a good team get better. And so you have to think that, they're 6-1? You wanna let them get away from you by letting Moss go back there? Every other team in the league has a chance at Moss right now other than New England, because the way that the waiver is going to work with their, you know, best record, they have the absolute last chance to get him. And, you know, you have to believe that there are going to be other teams that are going to take a shot at him. There are certainly teams inquiring about him now, so he's not going to, especially with the idea that he's going to earn his money, and the fact that Minnesota's going to have to pay almost 20% of that money, regardless of where he lands. So he's going to land somewhere. You know, you would just hope that he lands somewhere that might try to make a move to keep him. You know, again, some of those things, that those erosions in the locker room, you know, there used to be a knock on Moss when he was at Minnesota the first time, about the fact that, you know, the Vikings would bring corporate tours, you know, and he didn't like the idea that, you know, he had to be a part of that dog and pony show, you know, have to go out there and greet these corporate fans and blah, 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 to sell the boxes and all that shit. He didn't really care about that, you know. I think one of the things that, you know, people forget is that, you know, he's still, Randy Moss is a football player. You know, and all the things that you have to do besides being a, you know, like leaving yourself open to the media. You know, the NFL forces all these players. They can write about you whatever they want to write about you. You still got to go out and talk to them. And Randy Moss is one of those players that goes, the hell with you. Every time I turn around, you make me out to be this goon, this idiot. And maybe I am. So the best thing for me to do is shut up. I'll eat the $25,000. I just won't talk to you.
But I would say, to answer your question, Mark, is, I mean, I think there's very few teams. I mean, I want people to listen and saw what they were talking about. You're not going to have them go to Tennessee with a young Bradford. You're not going to do it.
St. Louis.
You're not going to have them go to Tennessee, probably for the same reason. I mean, you got a coach that can probably control him. That might be a possibility. Seattle is a possibility. I wouldn't say Miami's not a possibility. I wouldn't have him with a young quarterback in that situation and what they're trying to get done. You know, so, I mean, you start looking at the list. I mean, the one list first might be intriguing because they probably could do it just because of the leadership would be the Colts. I mean, because you got a strong personality at quarterback. But, you know, I don't know how many people at this point are going to buy the Randy Moss gig. Probably Kansas City might be an option just because you got strong coordinators and strong leadership. That's a possibility.
And they know him.
Yeah.
Haley knows him.
Yeah.
Right. But there's going to be other teams, and I think that, when this all plays out, as it plays out, you have to wonder if Moss isn't, or his agent isn't, sending out feelers to those teams that are contending, because at this point in his career, he certainly needs to try to win a championship. And B,
he's not going to get the big contract. The big contract.
Well,
he's
not going to get a contract for the rest of the year. He's already got a contract for this year, and he's not.
No, but I'm saying the big contract he was hoping to get after this year, he's not getting.
And that's a given, but. You know, to think that he's not going to, you know, he's going to get his $6 million this year. Somebody's going to give him $5 million for the rest of this year. You know, because, you know, Minnesota's going to have to pay 1.5 no matter where he falls. And if nobody picks him up, I don't think that they are done. I think that if he sat out, if no team picks him up, I think Minnesota's still obligated to pay him $1.5 million. you know, Minnesota, I think, gave up on him with the idea that somebody would pick him up. And I think somebody's going to pick him up. I think any of the contenders, any team that it absolutely believes that they can make a run, can use Randy Moss in some way. And it's better to play with him than to have to try to play against him, because his skills aren't really diminished.
They haven't. And I think people forget that. If you look at how many balls Wes Welker has caught since Randy Moss left, big difference.
Sure.
You look at how many balls Percy Harvin was catching.
Exactly.
When Moss was there. Percy Harvin came alive when Randy Moss
exactly.
was on that team.
And
Wes Welker died when Randy Moss left.
And as far as the big contracts, he's going to get what he gets, because people who know football realize that you know what happened in Minnesota. What was happening in Minnesota was Randy was still doing the things that he should do. He was taking on those double teams. He was getting the balls that he was thrown to him. It wasn't like he was dropping everything. You know, he was disgruntled. He's been pretty disgruntled all year. He's in a contract year, and he's not making and putting up the kind of numbers he knows he can put up. Perhaps he doesn't know how to articulate that. I don't know. I really don't know. But these things have been troubling to him for years. You know, he has been different with his attitude. He has been different in the way he's treated the press. He has been different in the way that he, you know, carries himself on the field. But at the end of the day, Randy Moss is going to go down in history as the best receiver not named Rice of all time. And he's
which,
not
which
done.
Which I think we're not going to argue about, but he's very close to becoming football version Allen Iverson. Alec can still play. He ain't got to be over in Turkey. But there's certain
mm-hmm.
things you got to do to continue to play. Alec can still come in right now today if you suit him up. He's going to hit 20. But there's a certain way you're going to have to play. There's certain concessions you're going to make at a certain point in your career. So it's not that you can't produce. But what you could get away with 5 years ago, Randy Moss, versus what you can get away with now, that window's really closed. So, yeah, you can produce, but – You're going to have to, there's a lot more you're going to have to give up, and you have to sacrifice, and you're going to have to play. And I'm not sure, that's the part they're going to have to evaluate. It's not the 2 year ago Randy Moss, not the 2007 Randy Moss. The Randy Moss now, you're going to have to do some different things for us. And I'm not sure if he's ready to do that psychologically. So do you become the Iverson of football? You can still play, but you don't have a turkey.
Oh, that's a great lead-in. That's a great lead-in right there. Cause I want to play this this Moss song real quick for y'all, because they made a song starting with AI. And once you get a song, I think that's a sign. I think that's like a hidden signal. I'm going to play this Moss song real quick.
The Minnesota Vikings have selected Randy Moss.
Well, before I get to questions, man, I'd like to say something.
Everybody wants clout.
84 jerseys out. I'm back home. 84 jerseys out. This is gonna be a fun ride. This is gonna be a fun ride.
Everybody want clout.
I'm gonna play what I wanna play. Play. Do what I wanna do. I'm gonna say what I wanna say.
Did I say anything stupid today?
My role is to take the ball deep, take the top off the defense. Take the ball deep, take the top off the defense.
If I can't get to it. Nobody can get to it.
I don't shine shoes. I don't tape ankles. I don't cut checks.
Great cash, homie.
I don't shine shoes. I don't tape ankles. I don't cut checks.
Great cash, homie. Everybody, one clap.
84 jerseys out. I'm back home. 84 jerseys out.
I'm here to play.
You can print it. I don't care how you put it on your ink.
Everybody, one clap.
I'm going to play when I want to play. I'm gonna say what I wanna say. Do what I wanna do.
Next question. You're looking at this opportunity to revitalize your career.
I don't need to revitalize nothing. Everybody know who I am. This probably will be my last year here as a Patriot. You guys tell the people, Moss this, Moss that, Moss this, Moss that, Moss this, Moss that. Are you gonna come out today, Moss? This, Moss that, Moss this, Moss that, Moss this, Moss that, Moss this, Moss that. 84 jerseys out. I'm back home. 84 jerseys out. This is gonna be a fun ride. This is gonna be a fun ride.
Everybody want clout.
I'm gonna play when I wanna play. Play. I'm gonna say what I wanna say. Do what I wanna do. Do what I wanna do.
I am human. I do have emotions like everybody else.
Boy.
Oh, that's a classic.
Yeah, he's got a little arsenal of quotes, man. I got the Straight Cash Homie and a couple of those, but man. So yeah,
somebody get Turkey on the phone. We got a receiver.
For real, somebody get that Turkish team, the Turkish football team. Yeah, they play a different kind of football over there.
Again,
So given where the conversation is right now, this is something I want to use to lead into the funky editorial for this week. And I'm a preview it, play the intro, and then drop it on y'all real quick. So you got the Moss situation. You got the Donovan McNabb situation. You got the Vikings in disarray. You got the Cowboys in disarray. I think the NFL is in trouble right now. So just marinate on that while I run the intro, and then when I come back, I'm going
to
break it down even further.
Shall we say it, y'all? Melvin, right. Jimmy, right. Coleman, Ryan, set. Yeah. Everybody want to get funky one more time.
All right, so we got the funky editorial. You're on with the Real Sports Guys. If you want to call on and chat with us during this segment of the show, please call in. The number is 1-347-989-0844. So, fellas, the reason I feel like the NFL is in trouble right now is that its biggest stories this year have been about failure. All of the big stories this year are about teams not living up to potential, players not playing at a high level. And there are no real stories about teams or players who are performing at a high level. So you basically got a product that's not very good, but you're still able to sell it because you're talking about how things are not very good, which the NFL is somehow a master at, and nobody sees that. And you're having this mediocre season right before a potential lockout. So you're going to leave with this bad – you're going to leave this bad taste in fans' mouths. A lot of fans and a lot of markets are going to have a bad taste in their mouth from this season. And then you possibly could go into a lockout. This could – I feel like this could spell trouble for the NFL. The NFL has been on top for a while. And I think part of the reason it was on top is because you had players who were having an amazing impact on the game. They had personality. They had flair. So you had all of these stories, but then there was a balance of high-performing players. You had your Peyton Mannings and your Tom Brady's who were setting records and breaking records. You had T.O. who was a problem in the locker room but a beast on the field. You know, you had a CJ2K going for 2,000 yards. You had Barry Sanders-type players. You had a Terrell Davis, and you had – you know, the Rams, the greatest show on turf. Or even last year, you had a team like the Saints who was putting up unbelievable offensive numbers. This year, or even, you know, the 2000 Ravens who were a defensive monster, you had exceptional play. You know, you had exceptional play, and that's what people want to see. They want to see something, somebody do something historic, whether it's the Patriots from a couple years ago getting knocked off by the Giants in the Super Bowl, you know, after going undefeated during the regular season. And this season doesn't have any of that. There are no elements of amazing or exceptional play. It's all about the Cowboys not being what they were supposed to be, or the Vikings not being what they were supposed to be, or the Saints being disappointed, or the Packers being ravaged by injury, or the mediocrity of the NFC. And even the Patriots at 6-1 don't really strike you as a 6-1 team, as you would traditionally think of a 6-1 team. During what I would call a normal – I don't feel like this is a normal season. In the season, again, the biggest story is about failure and people not living up to expectations instead of exceptional play. And I think going into a lockout, that may affect the NFL brand a little bit. And maybe you guys don't see it that way. I want you guys to weigh in on that idea, you know, now that you've had a chance to kind of think about it for a second.
I'll jump in here. Oh, do you want, Ray, you want to go out?
Go ahead.
I'll jump in on here. I'll start with the old adage is all press is good press. The interesting thing about today, we have the San Francisco Giants who won, what, their first World Series since moving to San Francisco. Amazing pitching performance. Basically the championship of Major League Baseball And I was, you know, I would do the surf or the dial on my way up the road. I got an hour commute, hour 15-minute commute. And I was listening to some major talk shows, and they spent all that time talking about the NFL, and then they spent 5 minutes in there. It was like, now back to the NFL. So that tells me how strong the NFL brand, and even the bad stuff that you're talking about, is still stronger than the World Series. Which is, you know, which is amazing. You had amazing performance. You had Lincecum doing amazing stuff. You had a home run to win it. You had all the drama that you needed, and still the NFL dominates the news. And to me, their brand is very strong. Now, are they going to have to work through lockouts? We got a couple of sports here who have to work through some player issues, but the brand of the NFL, I think, is very strong. Now, are there going to be some emerging stories as we go on? I think let's let the season play out. I think, you know, as teams start to jockey and stuff starts to happen, I think some of those other stories are going to emerge out of it. But I think the strength of their brand is the fact that even with this bad stuff, their bad stuff gets a bigger rating than the best that baseball can offer. I think football got like 11 something rating. I mean, the best the World Series did was like a 10. So that tells you how strong the brand is for the NFL. It's going to take a lot to knock that down.
And that's exactly what happened. You know, Sunday's game with the Steelers and New Orleans had a higher rating than the World Series game. I mean, the people are still tuning into football, and I think that speaks wonders to the parity of the NFL and the ability for every team, you know, to come up big and to play. You know, you've had some terrible performances by teams that you thought were going to do better. Two quotes or two things that I heard this weekend that just cracked me up, because you know how I've been just dogging this Cowboys team. You're listening to, you know, the Cowboys game, watching the Cowboys game, and you can hear him chanting in the background, "Let's go, Rangers, let's go." It's like they don't even want to talk about football at the stadium at the Dallas games anymore. And then the other night, you know, on the Jay Leno show, I'll give it to Jay Leno, he cracked me up. He said the biggest Halloween costume this year was just going to be an open shirt with a fork stuck in the chest, and everybody was going to go as the Cowboys. You know, they're done. They're all done. So I thought, you know, terrible. He can talk about anything, but he's talking about this sorry-ass Cowboys team. And it was funny, you know. But, I mean, that's the NFL. And I think what the NFL better take out of this and take from this is the fact that even on – what we might consider a down year, it's still the NFL. It's still football. It's still the idea that these teams can compete. You know, it's still about revenue sharing and letting these small market teams get in the mix. And I think that, you know, if you let some of the owners like Jones, you know, take away that revenue sharing, take away that parity, you know, take away that you know, the ability to have a down year like this and still be as popular by stacking teams, by making, you know, Dallas the New York of the NFL, 10 years from now, we're not going to be talking about them either, you know. And so, you know, I think that, you know, even in the shadow of a lockout, the NFL is still, right now, the greatest, you know, show on turf. He's the greatest sport there is right now. So there's no delusion in who's leading, you know, television rankings and everything else. So
Marcus and Ray, I was going to ask you, when did the Cowboys win their last Super Bowl?
Man, was it 93?
Yeah.
I'm raising that because you got kids who are in college who have never seen the Cowboys be good.
Yeah,
it's kind of like what I heard this thing about Notre Dame. You know, someone was saying that, you have folks who are in their 30s who have never seen Notre Dame be good.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
you know, right. in their lifetime. You know, like everybody talks about this stuff, but you know, unless you're around, you know, in you know, to see Rocket Ismail or whatever, you never. So there are kids. What's great about the NFL is Kansas City Chiefs. You know, we had to think up, and that's what keeps the fans in it is that it's true. Like Ray, you're saying, it's true parody. It's like, yeah, your team can't be good next year just because you're in the bottom this year. You know, that's why they put so much pressure on ownership, because you can see it's not like baseball, it's not like the NBA, but you can, you know, with the right moves, you can be good with good decisions. You know, if you do it.
The Buffalo Bills haven't won, but they're still fun to watch. They're still exciting. You know, Detroit has been a terrible football team, has been a terrible football organization for many years. And look at how they're coming back. And I mean, this can happen. It's just it's a continuing rotation of teams. You know, Seattle was once up, now they're down, now they're back up. You know, St. Louis is winning ball games that perhaps they shouldn't. I mean, it's just, you know, even in a down year, the NFL is still exciting to watch. You know,
because for y'all, think about it. All those cities think we can be the Saints. If the Saints, like in our lifetime, did everybody ever think the Saints was going to win the Super Bowl?
No.
When I was a kid,
I remember the Aints. I remember the unknown fans. You know, everybody sitting in
and
the stands.
And see, this is my critique, though. Is it too much parody? Because when you think about the NFL, the Cowboys had their run in the early 90s, and the 49ers had a run in the 80s, and the Raiders were hot in the 70s, and the Steelers were hot in the 60s and 70s. So there have always been dynasties in those top-tier teams, and right now there aren't.
Right.
There are not top-tier franchises anymore. There are franchises who are good and who are in it, but everybody's in it. But there isn't, even from the early 2000s, the Patriots. You know, they had to go – they had some runs, and they were in it, but are we at a transition period right now where the Colts aren't as strong as they usually are? The Patriots are winning games, but I don't see that. When I look at that team doesn't seem like a strong team. I think the Patriots from the early 2000s beat the hell out of that team, the team they got now.
Right.
So,
but again, you've got something to root for. You know, your team. You know, you look at all the teams that are still sitting back at this. You know, at this point in the season, you know, nine games in, and there are so many fans all across the country that are still looking at their teams. You know, there's people down in Chicago who just can't wait for Chicago to get on the field next week. And they're not a good
And you're absolutely
team.
Right, but does that stop when? Because I tried to watch the Packers-Jets game, and that was a hard game to watch.
Sure.
You know, some of these games are hard. I tried to watch the Saints and the Steelers, and I'm watching like, this is not fun to watch.
Right.
Because like, I don't have a – I'm not a fan of those teams. So I'm not – for that game to be on, if I don't have a connection to that team, it's hard to watch.
Sure, but again,
what
you
I
know.
Say is,
yeah, people are watching, but it's hard to watch. And if it continues to be hard to watch, are people going to continue to watch?
But, Marcus, what I would add is what's different between the NFL and Major League Baseball and NBA basketball, which, you know, in the finals, because you have multiple game finals in which – if you don't have one of the premier teams, the ratings go down. You don't have Chicago in the market. If you don't have L.A. or Boston, some of these premier markets in there, it's not as high a rating. Or baseball, if you don't have the Red Sox or the Yankees or whatever, the Dodgers and some of the large markets. What's great about it is the Super Bowl has an incredible brand. So no matter who gets there, so if it's not Pittsburgh or if it's not whatever, they have such a build-up to that brand, and you rarely have a Super Bowl that doesn't do well in terms of ratings, I would say. We have to check that.
And that's true. But also, if you look at attendance numbers, the NFL has had more blackouts this year of home games, televised home games, than any season in the last 10 years. They're not talking, they're not reporting it anymore at the beginning, and that's the NFL being the NFL and controlling their image. But at the beginning of the season, Jacksonville, Oakland, you know, these places are not selling out their home games. And there are a lot of blackouts this year.
Go ahead, Ray. Well, you know, you're absolutely correct that there, but the, and that's exactly the point. And there are teams that you would have thought would have had blackouts, that all of a sudden are selling tickets. You know, they are going to the Detroit games. They are going to, you know, St. Louis games. They are going to some of these other games it's going to be interesting to see if they don't black out some Dallas games. You know, big-ass stadium like that, they're not going to fill half of that stadium. And that's going to cause the NFL to look at their product a bit differently, I'm afraid. And if they go and get rid of some of this revenue sharing, you're going to see that parity fall off, and it isn't going to be immediate. But what you're going to see is a situation like baseball finds itself in. When you can't turn on, you know, anybody in America could probably name five Yankees, but they're not going to name five Brewers. They probably couldn't name five Giants, even after the World Series. But you can bet when the NFL, when they get into the Super Bowl, you're going to be able to name five players on each team. And that's just the brand that football is. That's the NFL. Are there more blackouts this year? Yes, but there are some teams that are certainly underperforming. It shouldn't be a surprise that Jacksonville can't fill a stadium. They're not playing good football.
Just last week, October 22nd, I'm looking at the story, Tampa Bay. They're winning. They got a nice young team, blackouts. Week 8, Detroit, blacked out.
I would say that the brand for them is still strong. Those may be like indicators of the economy that they got to work with. But if you put them up against any other sports, because the part of it is their brand is still the strongest brand. So they might dip down, but they are so far ahead of the other leagues in terms of market share and brand. It's ridiculous. Yeah, so they'll take a dip, but they're nowhere near. They got certain markets. As I told you, I'm questioning Northern Florida. Tampa Bay, Jacksonville. There's just something about that for baseball. There's something going on down there. You got a lot of people who move down there who, aren't from there and all that other stuff, retirement communities. There's some issues within Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, and that stuff. But the NFL is so far ahead of everybody in terms of their branding and how they go about it. Nationally, NBA might have the global brand, but in terms of just strong sports, they're going to take a dip in this market and those things, but they still got the strongest brand.
Sure, and you have a team like Green Bay that is, supposedly the smallest market in the league, and I don't care who you send up there, they're going to sell that stadium out. It is what it is. The NFL right now.
Right. So then you have this economic situation, right? And then
right.
That storm cloud meets up with this mediocre play storm cloud. And then this storm cloud lockout is hanging out over here. These are all things that the NFL can overcome. But that lockout here, and there's no football next fall.
Right.
And they're already facing blackouts in certain markets.
Sure.
And the economy is already bad. And the Republicans just took the House again. And the Senate. How is this going to play out?
It's not only that. It's that, if you talk about an 18-game schedule, all of these things are going to play. The NFL is at a point, I will say that the NFL is at a point where it really needs to take a look at where it's going, You have good old talking.
Are they
going to
oversaturate the market? Because, again, one of the key things about the NFL is that there's 16 games. So people are compelled to watch because there's 16 games. And if you miss one, you missed one of the 16 games. You're not going to get – it's not like the NBA where I ain't got to watch tonight because there's 77 more games left.
But
you know what I'm saying? And once you start to increase the amount of games, and you're leaving yourself open to – to more of this.
One of the things you lead in, we're not talking about, and I've been thinking about this on my long commute, I think about it a lot. But to me, the value of contraction. I was thinking about this with the NBA.
Oh yeah, Stern talked about it. I've been a major proponent of contraction. Like, I think that should have happened a while ago.
One of the things I would think about if I was in NFL, if I was thinking about going to 18 games, I would seriously think about contraction and maybe, you know, either contraction or they definitely got to get a team in the L.A. market. But, you know, but think about contraction in terms of building up the quality of the teams and the strength of the roster and some of those things. That would be something that I would entertain.
I agree. I think contraction is a good thing at this point in all sports. I think, like, there's certain towns that just ain't baseball towns and certain towns that just ain't basketball towns. And get the teams out of there. The NFL does play well pretty much everywhere. There are some places that when the team isn't so hot, it struggles. So contraction may not be something that they have to do, but I think it could be something that could be beneficial all the way around, you know.
Right.
Like, I think that's a concept that it seems like a loss because it seems like you're losing because you're cutting teams. But I think it's a win, you know. I think it's a win.
But yeah, you're building. You know, my thought is you're building in quality. You're increasing the quality across the league of play opportunities, and it's something about quality.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to people. Like when people watch good, people want to watch good football. I think that's why the Super Bowl is so popular because you have two good teams playing some good football, you know, and that's why people tune in. I mean, they tune in for the spectacle, but I think also people tune in to watch a good football game. You know, I haven't had a team that I root for being a Super Bowl in a long time, but I've watched every one because I've anticipated
right.
that that's going to be a good-ass game.
Which also, you know, and then our subject a bit was should be also the lead-in to, you know, why hasn't college football done the same thing. But these blackouts, they are disturbing, you know, and it's hard to fathom. You know, we're calling from Wisconsin, and it's hard to fathom a blackout when you've been a Packer fan because you can't
right.
get a season ticket. You know, you got
to,
like,
again, it's hard to fathom. Just think, if there's a lockout, fathom an October with no Packer football around here. What
That's
are
right.
people going to do?
That's right.
The Bucks. The people don't care about the Bucks that much, and the Bruins ain't going to be playing on October baseball.
No, and you're
There's
right.
There's going to be a lot of pissed off people.
Right. And again, you know, they're going to be angry at billionaires, you know, can't get along with millionaires. You know, this is, this contract, this negotiation, this lockout, you know, and I think that has a lot to do with you know, some of the craziness that you've seen in the NFL this year. You know, I think that's why you don't see Larry Johnson playing on the team. That's why I think you see Randy Moss getting traded and then cut. You know, there's so much uncertainty with this whole, you know, lockout and this whole situation. You know, I can't fathom Peyton Manning without a contract right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, they are talking about him being, you know, the highest paid player in the NFL, but for how long, you know? Because after this, you know, if I'm Peyton Manning, I don't even want to talk about a contract until after we've settled all of this negotiation. Because
right.
if you cap or do anything else, it may be such a thing that, you know, I can make exorbitant amount of money. You know, we don't know how this negotiation is all going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I go with, you know, game-by-game contract. You know, maybe I want to, you know, you start bumping this up to 18 games. You know, nobody's talking about how they're trying to figure all of this stuff out.
Right.
You know, the owners want the players to take, you know, less money or less percentage, but they want to increase the product. They want to sell two more games. They want to, it's like, you know, how is all this going to work out?
Yeah.
You know, and
it's just an interesting thought that I don't think people have really considered yet. Like, could this be, you know, Fozzie and, you know, Happy Days, Fozzie jumped that shark. Could this be that the NFL jumping the shark? You know, could the NFL be about to jump the shark? They've had a long run, you know.
Right.
Who knows?
You know, and these owners are reluctant to open their books and allow the players to truly take a look at what their needs are, you know. And everybody is at least, you know, honest to tell, you know, each other that the owners aren't losing money. You know, you're talking about a lot of ownerships losing money, even with the blackouts. So, you know, but again, there's, like you said, next October, next November, without football, people are going to be pissed, you know, and mm-hmm. they should take a page out of the, again, take a page from Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball never recovered. I mean, it took a lot of steroids and a lot of home runs for to even watch baseball. You know? Really, you know, baseball didn't have much to offer. You know, until Sonny Sosa, McGuire, and Bonds started just yanking stuff out the park, you know, and then everybody started watching baseball again. You know, what is the NFL going to do? You know, it's...
And yeah, I mean, that's out, a legitimate concern,
you know,
right?
I'm an NFL player. If I'm a top tier NFL player, you know, I want everything on the table. You know, I want everything on the table, from drug testing to everything. You can put my name on a Nintendo game. You know, my likeness gets sold here, there, and everywhere. You know, it is as a player, I don't really care how you pay Goodall and the rest of the NFL. That's up to you to do. You know, I just want my money. You know, I want my money, and maybe I don't talk to the media. You know, and maybe I don't want Goodall in my pocket all the time. You know, every time I run a red light, or send a picture of my junk to somebody. You know, let's put it all out there on the table. You know.
To me, those kind of the posturing piece that, yeah, I think, Ray, you just hit on it. You know, if I'm the Players Association, you know, we're really going to get back into this, you know, no fun league, some of the stuff that the NFL has just been, you know, just overstepping on a lot of different things that, you know, I think get kind of branded as good for the brand, that are just more control measures.
Sure, and, but it's that conservative attitude.
They need to push back on some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just the NFL. The NBA is going through contract negotiations, too. And if I'm an NBA player, you know, if I can't yell at a referee for what I think is a bad call, wrong.
Word up.
I don't mean bumping them and getting in their face or whatever, but if I have to ask them, you know, you want me to wipe them glasses off? You know, I shouldn't be teed up for that. You know, I shouldn't be waiting
right.
for somebody. I shouldn't be waiting for Stern to call me up to, you know, get my bank account number to take some of my money. You know, if it's
mm-hmm.
a bad call. You know, and if you can
yeah.
go over and replay it, you know, take a look at it. That should be the other thing, you know. But again, when these negotiations hit the table, that's the other thing the NFL has to really look at. You know, these players, and you know, they voted out the union so that they wouldn't get locked out. They're going to force the NFL to, you know, lock them out. You know, and then they're going to have to regroup. But if I'm the Players Association, we're putting everything on the table. You know,
yeah,
it's going to be give and take. Believe me, it's going to be give and take. And if I'm Randy Moss, and I don't like going to the corporate junkets, you know, and ride the bus, you know, to try to sell the – I don't want to do that. And if I don't want to answer questions to the media, I don't want the NFL telling me, you know, I owe them $25,000 because I don't want to talk to these people that seem to want to write about me in a negative way. Why in the hell would I do that?
Mm-hmm. And I think, but you know, having said all this, this is still the golden goose. And both sides
sure.
are going to posture up to a minute, and they're not going to kill the golden goose. You might miss a week, maybe two of the season, just on symbolism.
I think you got on this like Jones going, I've got enough money in the bank right now, I could miss the whole season. Because I really want.
I mean, they get paid anyway, and they're going to get the money from the TV deals anyway. But you still, it's for a reason.
I think you got owners that want to kill this whole concept of revenue sharing. I think you have
yeah.
owners that would love to be able to just write a check and buy themselves a championship. You don't think Jerry Jones wouldn't you know You don't think Jerry Jones just don't want to whip out that checkbook with that new stadium he's got?
And well, just, hell, Snyder's been trying to do that forever. He has Snyder been doing it, and it ain't worked. I mean, football's not that kind of sport.
Well, but the thing is, Snyder has still been doing it within the confines of the NFL. Snyder's been doing
it. Yeah, but still, football's not that kind of sport. You can't just get LeBron, Wade, and Bosh and think you're going to win. Football's not that kind of – there's more to football than that. I mean, if I were them, I'd be like, okay, try it.
But I'm just saying, you know, you don't have to look at the Yankees. You don't have to win the World Series every year to have your own television rights, to market yourself, you know. Simply because the Yankees haven't won the World Series doesn't put them in a position where the rich are still getting richer, you know. So what if the Yankees don't win the championship? The Brewers ain't won it either, but they don't look like the Yankees at all.
Right.
They're not selling like the Yankees, and they're not making money like the Yankees, and they can't put a product out there like the Yankees. So it isn't always about winning the championship, you know. Yes, you'd like to think that you're going to get that kind of return out of your money, but the fact that you're getting that kind of return out of your money, the fact that you have your own television rights, the fact that you are sending a check, you know, of any magnitude to anybody, you know, if the NFL goes that route, it's going to shoot itself in the foot.
Because but I think there are more owners who are not like Jones than like Jones.
But there are enough owners. Again, you still got 16 games. There are still enough owners like Jones that could ruin and Snyder. You know, again, and I'll say this about Snyder: as much as he spent, he's still doing with the confines of the NFL. He's still involved with the revenue share. He's still involved with having a salary cap. He's still involved with everything that the NFL has to do to compete. It's not carte blanche. It's not like you know, the Yankees payroll being, you know. You know, the Yankees have single players. The Yankees could put three players together and have a payroll bigger than the Marlins. And if you see that in the NFL, then you're going to see the best product in professional sports go down the tubes. You know?
I agree. And you're going to see more blackouts. You're going to see more mediocre play because you're going to have these teams consolidating the majority of the talent. Because what's going to be interesting too, is that a lot of the NFL's, a lot of the ability for these other teams to compete, which I think people are sleeping on this aspect of the collective bargaining agreement, is that right now in the NFL you can lock up a rookie for 5 or 6 years.
Yep.
And so you get that guy in your system, you develop him, you help him, you know, you groom him, you develop him, you bring him in, you play him. And, you know, by his fourth or third year, you got a legitimate star. If they go to a rookie wage scale where now rookies only make so much and that first contract is only going to be for 2 or 3 years, because that's what it's going to have to be, because it's, even in basketball, it's 2 or 3 years. And if you're doing it in the NFL, you know, it has to be that you have to let a player get out of that first deal quickly. You know, and I think that would be something that would be a part of CBA. So now you got 2 years and you got to make a decision on a guy. You know, you got 2 years, and you got to make a decision on a guy as to whether or not he's going to be a part of your franchise long term or not. So for a lot of those teams that are now able to keep that young talent, for example, the St. Louis Rams, they're able to keep Chris Long, they're able to keep Jason Smith, even though they haven't really turned that corner as far as being, you know, worthy of the high picks that they were, they don't have to worry about it. They can pay them, keep them, and if they turn out to be something, they can be something. You know, if they have a rookie wage scale, they have to make a decision on those guys now. You know, and I think and whether or not to pay them, if they had to make a decision now, they probably wouldn't pay those guys. And so now they're losing those guys to who, and those guys could turn out to be pretty good players. So now they're losing those guys to a team who doesn't have the financial restrictions that they have, who can pay those young players. You know, maybe those players go to a Dallas. And so now Dallas is taking two top picks off of this team because this team can't afford to keep both of them. And now you have the rich raiding the poor.
Yeah, but that's, you know, again, that's the NFL. And if the NFL keeps tinkering with what they do, adding games, you know, allowing these blackouts, there's going to be trouble.
Well, but I would say, I think that's why I think Goodell is going to be, he's the key to this because, yeah, he's basically working for the owners, but he's also trying to maintain that what was good about the league. So part of what he's going to be really good at is getting the owners to understand some of the things that they're going to have to keep in place to keep the goose going, the golden egg going. So I think that's where his leadership is going to have to emerge.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about letting folks like Jerry Jones and do what they want to do. It's about he's got to really convince what's best for the league, and he's got to be strong. I think he's been a pretty good leader, so that's where his leadership is going to be important.
He does work for the NFL, and he has been good for the NFL. He has been good for the teams. You know, he's not liked by the players. He's not trusted, and that's what these negotiations are going to bring out. You know, because at the end of the day, he still has the best interest of the NFL, and at the end of the day, it's those owners who are going to have to realize that their golden goose is the fact that, you know, they have to share these crowns, they have to share these championships, they have to keep that competitive edge, they have to make sure that they are letting everybody know that every one of these teams in the NFL has the opportunity to put on the field and to put in the coaching staff the people that can get the job done.
But at the same time, you could allow some creative licensing for someone like Jerry Jones to continue to build his brand, not to improve his ability to attract more players.
The Jerry Joneses of this world aren't able to do that. He's building his own stadium. He owns that house. You know,
yep.
And
he did some of that just by being defiant early on.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. You know, so he has his opportunity. You know, you have to be an entrepreneur and a businessman, you know, to do that. But as far as the product you put on the field, it has to be fair.
So, you know, I think there's just some things that people need to consider with the NFL right now. They're doing a lot of shuffling of things, and they're trying to experiment with the structure of the game. And, you know, yeah, You want to try and make it better. You want to try and maximize it. But sometimes, you know, that old saying, leave well enough alone.
Right.
You know, leave well enough alone. We're going to transition into the game picks from last week. We'll get into this a little bit because there were some interesting results. And we weren't as accurate as we thought we were. So let's get into the picks. So first off, let's start we can start with the debacle up in Minnesota. Minnesota, New England. New England took it to Minnesota. We all had New England picked, I think. I lost my picks. One of my kids moved the picks I wrote. I wrote them down, and somebody moved them from by my desk. So somebody was messing with Daddy's desk and moved his picks. So I hope you guys remember who you picked. I know I picked New England in this particular game because Minnesota's dead.
I thought
we were all unanimous on that one. Favre got knocked out. I don't know about y'all, man, but when it was carting Favre off, man, it looked like the man was he was dying. Did he just look like he had just had his whole universe shattered? Like he was gonna, you know, just die on the court, right? Die on the field right there.
Yeah, I didn't know if they was going to take it to the locker room or if they taking it straight to Kiln, you know?
Really?
I thought they were going to put it with the white Bronco.
He going to ride this cart home?
He had that delayed reaction, too, because he kind of took a step or two, and then he just crumbled. Like, down goes Frazier.
They said he took about, eight stitches of... Fixed that hole in his face?
Yeah, eight stitches.
Wow.
Eight stitches. You know what he said at the press conference? Oh, I'm going to play next week.
Yeah. Just go sit down, man. Like, damn your streak.
All right? And this is right. And this is where the Vikings have, I think this is where the Vikings have made a real mistake. You know, cutting Randy Moss was what it was. But I think the real mistake is that ain't nobody put this man in his place yet.
No, and if you don't come out of this season with a championship, at least be the team that said, look, you ain't got it no more. How's that?
Yeah.
You know? You ain't got it no more.
Walk away with some dignity, man.
Right.
I mean, he's basically just punking him right now. Like, no, I'm going to play next week.
Yeah, let us walk away with something. You got two fractures in your foot. You know, you every pass you seem to throw these days has a wobble to it. You are not the Brett Favre of old. You know, and I don't get it. You know, you would think, but you've never seen the champion do that. You know, you know Ali didn't go out in time. You know, a lot of champions just don't walk away in time. But you know, you got to wonder what it's going to take. You know, somebody. You know, you just got to stop and just say, look, just stop this madness. You just can't play at this level.
Yeah, somebody's got to break that down to him. Because not only is he going to lose games, but he's going to get his old ass hurt.
Right.
To put it frankly, he's going to get his old ass hurt.
His old ass is hurt now. Your foot is fractured. Your jaw's all busted up. What else do you want, you know? You cost a man his job. You know,
and that's the biggest thing. Chili jumped in the bed with this dude, man, and this dude has basically been the worst thing that ever happened to Childress.
Right.
Childress was already struggling to begin with, and yeah, he bought him a little bit more time. But Chili's not going to be able to get another gig after this.
Maybe
before, if he would have just got fired, he probably got recycled at some point. You know, he could have went somewhere, did a great job coordinating, and got recycled. It's going to be a minute for anybody to hire Chili again because he just can't run a team.
Exactly, but shouldn't that be the way it is? You know, I mean, you really have to be down and out. Chili should be like that dude in gym class that just never gets picked again. You know, you can't play no dodgeball. You know, we don't want you on the relay. We can't trust you. You ain't got it. You know. This is competition.
I'm gonna say this: the North Turner keeps resurfacing, Dan Gailey keeps resurfacing. So I'm not gonna put it past.
But see, North Turner.
Yeah, it's gonna be a minute though.
North,
I think it's gonna be
North
a minute
Turner.
With Chili because he right now he looks like a mark. He looks like a punk. He looks like a sucker right now. So it's gonna be a minute before any owner gives him the keys to their franchise with this vision of him. And how things have played out with still in their heads. You know what I mean? Like
North Turner has an offense. You know, he has an offense. You know, if they ain't running, you know, he has something that teams take away from him and go use with their team. What are they going to take from Chili and go and use anywhere else? You know, he's using somebody else's offense. He's using somebody else's defense. So all he really has to do is manage this team. Put the personnel out there that should be out there. Call the plays the way that they're supposed to be played. And he's showing you that he can't do that. He also shows you that he's willing, he'll sell his soul to the devil to try to keep his job. And he'll let somebody come in and just take over the organization. Chili's, you know, you really have to be desperate. You can't even put North Turner and Chili in the same breath. Because the way that he's just messing this up, he's, you know, they should have stuck a fork in his chest. You know, he could have just went as himself. He's done. He's all done. He's just done. He's embarrassed. You know, and much like Favre, he's embarrassing himself the longer he keeps this facade up. The longer they keep this facade up. Like you say, they have to me, the best running back in the NFL. And they're trying to figure out this passing game. The hell with this passing game. Run.
You better get Tavares Jackson back there and just hand the damn ball off.
Right, run.
We
Let
don't
want to
bring in Tavares Jackson. Tavares ain't got to throw no passes when you got Adrian Peterson back there.
They ought to make Brett.
First up on his field, first possession.
I mean, if I'm Chili, I'm making Brett hand the ball off. This is the play. Run it.
Brett ain't going to do that. That's the problem. That's the problem.
Well,
Brett run the show.
Yeah.
Brett ain't
going
to do that. Brett going to do what he want to do.
Well, okay. But see, then when he gets in the huddle, you know, and he starts barking out orders and somebody slaps him and says, Chili said, run the ball. Run the ball. You know, let the players implode on his ass a little bit. I think that was what you were seeing with Harvin. You know, everybody was talking about Moss. Harvin is saying, look, it ain't Moss. It's Chili. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
Chili and Brett. You know, Brett's running this the way that he wants to. Chili is following him. I say some of these conversations that we don't have an opportunity to hear. You know, you might want to blame it on something that Moss said at a buffet on Friday, but I bet you a lot of it was, you know, Favre going back and telling Chili he should have caught that goddamn pass. If he would have kept running, he would have caught it.
Right.
You know, and Chili is like, look, man, I'll take care of it.
And then part of it, too, is just Chili's damn tired of people saying shit to him. I'm the coach. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like as a parent. You know, one kid's getting on your nerves, and then the other kid want to pop off and talk back, and you just lose it on them. And I think that's
right.
what happened. You know
right.
what I'm saying? This other kid is giving him fits. And then, you know, it's like testing his authority, and then Randy Moss show up, and he want to pop off. And it's like, you ain't been here but for a minute now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can go back to where you came from. And that's what it was like. It was like they told Randy, look, man, you ain't been here but for a second. So if you really got a problem with what we're doing here, there's a door. You know, we're not that attached to you yet. You know, we kind of hung our hat on this dude, and we got to deal with this mess.
That's the part that tells you about when they're talking about whether or not Favre was going to play or not, and they're like, well, he can't. He's a coach. At what point does being a coach matter? If I decide whether or not he plays or not. Hall of Fame.
Right. He don't get to say at the press conference I'm playing next week. Who are you?
You might not get on the plane. What you talking
right.
about playing?
And this is what bothered me about Brett Favre when he left Green Bay was that part of the reason that they let him go is because he didn't want to compete for no job. He didn't want to compete with Aaron Rodgers for his job. If he has the competitive spirit that everybody says this man has, then you go your butt out there and you compete and you prove you're the better quarterback on the field, not based on what you did last year or the year before that or 10 years ago when you won a Super Bowl. You go out there and compete today, tomorrow, the next day after that, and prove to this kid that you're better than him.
And stop turning that ball over.
Well, see,
that's what he was
thing.
Telling
McCart-
him.
Well, McCart- but he wasn't saying it to everybody else, and that's where they kind of lost their – You know, that if that's truly what they were trying to say, they should have just came out and said it. They were saying, yes, Brett should, you know, they didn't say he's going to have to compete for his job. All they were saying was that we're going to go with Rodgers because he was here. And they literally changed the offense while Favre was gone that winter. And all the prep that they had done was to bring Rodgers into the fold because Favre was gone. He said he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they had the opportunity to say, you get your ass in here and suit up, and if you run this offense better than this kid, you get to play. But they wouldn't say that. They tried to send him money. They tried to send him money. They tried to say, just stay home.
They tried to wire him some money.
Right, just stay home. We'll pay you. You just stay home.
Nobody
wants to hurt him. Nobody, you know, wants to hurt his feelings, you know. Nobody wants to, you know, Chili don't want to hurt his, it's like, you know, if I say this, we can't go fishing. I'd be like, we ain't going fishing, motherfucker. We ain't going fishing. I ain't going to have a job. I'm going to be broke. Ain't nobody hiring me. This is what you've done to me.
Right.
You know, I just stand up like a man and look like, look, you know, before you leave, before you go to kill this winter, I'm benching your ass. How's that? You know?
For real, man. You can't let him just skate out of town, man. You can't let that man just skate out of town. Sorry.
You know, I
you
can't
put
let
your foot
you
down
decide when your streak is broken because you won't sit down. You know, you've played through broken thumbs. You've done, oh, big hero guy. You know, you ain't won a Super Bowl since 95.
Right.
You know, you've played a lot of games that you shouldn't have. And if you can't admit that, I'll tell you that. To continue to play when you have a broken thumb on your throwing hand is selfish. To continue to try to play at this age with a fractured ankle is selfish. It's all about his legacy. And he's showing you that he really isn't in tune with what everybody else is saying. You know, you had a lot of commentators this last weekend, the Bradshaws, the Howies. These guys are saying, you know, this guy's kind of messing up his image. This guy's, he's not really, you know, he's not really in tune with what really should be happening. And they were also talking about Chili, just like we are now. Like we saying, you know, Chili should be making these decisions. And they didn't do that in Green Bay either. They didn't really do that in Green Bay either.
And I'm glad you pointed out, you had the Trent Dilfers of the world and folks like that, you know, somebody like, you can't bitch him, it's Brett. I'm like, have y'all lost y'all mind? Like, that's the real difference between organizations that win and the ones that lose.
Exactly.
Belichick would be like, you're sitting.
Right.
And then, yeah, and the minute Brady ain't doing what he's supposed to do, he's like, we got to let you go.
Yeah, we think you.
It's been real.
It's been real.
When San Francisco traded Montana, like, look, you got to go. We're not going to argue about this. We got this kid. That's why we got him.
And yeah, you know? I think the part you put it, when you look at it, I mean, I guess maybe it's just me. I'm a sports guy. I watch this. And what I'm seeing is what I expected. You know, everybody got enamored with last year, but there's nothing in his history that told me he was going to repeat what he did last year.
Yeah.
Like, nothing that told me that. And I'm like, this is a train wreck waiting to happen.
Yep.
And for folks not to see that was just killing me. And I was playing out that way. It was nothing about his performance that told you he wasn't going to go the other direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. You know, earlier in the year when he came back, I thought Minnesota would play a hell of a lot better than they are. Even without Rice, I thought that they had enough talent to do better. And again, well before last year, you know, we talked about it, Yvonne, you and I, and I'm sure, Marcus, you were involved with these conversations, when we said, and if he would have just played that Elway role, pass a little bit here and there. We know you got it. You have a running back better than Elway ever had. You have a defense that is just as good as those Bronco teams, if not better. You don't have to be Brett Favre of 95. All you have to do is control the ball. Last year he controlled the ball. They played wonderfully, you know. And it wasn't until he didn't control the ball that they started to get in trouble. His ego is bigger, and he puts himself out there as bigger than the team. And it's as though if he's not winning, the team's not winning. And he could have taken such a secondary role. He could have played another year. He could have played another 2 years. He might have been welcomed back. He might have been welcomed back. But after the end of this year, when Childress gets fired, they're not going to ask Favre if he's coming back.
Oh, hell no.
He's not going to have one of them tearful, you know, press conferences about how torn he is about, I don't know if I'm going to play anymore. You bet your ass is done. You know? Your ass is just done. This team is not going to make, you know, I don't believe this team will make the playoffs.
If Chili had any
sense at all.
Hey, what you said, playoffs?
Exactly. Wait. Chili still has an opportunity to say, this is going to be the team here on out. We are going to run the ball 35 times a game. We're coming at you. You know, I've made a mistake. This experiment is over. This is how we're going to play. And that's how he should have done it when he brought Brett's ass in that Bronco in the first place. He should have told Brett, this is how we're going to play. This is how we're going to play.
Oh, man. They were too busy riding his jock, man.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. By the fifth game last year, that was Brett Favre's team, and everybody was looking at Chili like, you just shut up and stand over there in the corner. Brett's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it. And Brett played
well.
Yeah, so
on the other side of this New England-Minnesota game, you got the Patriots who jumped out to 6-1.
Right.
Now, they're at the top of the league with the best record by themselves now because Pittsburgh lost and New York lost last week, and they were all kind of tied up at 5-1. Well, now New England's the best team in the NFL based upon their record and, you know, old saying goes, you are what your record says you are. So they're 6-1. They're the best team in the league. Like I said earlier, they don't really look like the best team in the league to me. They can't run the ball. You know, Danny Woodhead's a nice story, and, you know, I like what he's doing. But, you know, how long before somebody punches through one of these mirrors that they got holding up the smoke?
I've been saying this for last week. I mean, after they got rid of Moss, Patriots are most dangerous when you don't know where they can go. You don't know how Belichick is going to game plan, what he's going to do. That's where they're most dangerous. And I think they'll play well. I think where it'll come off is in the playoffs when they get up against a team like Baltimore. You know, they might even get there because, you know, maybe one of the best records in the AFC or near the top. You know, but in the playoffs where they have to meet someone like Baltimore or Steelers or something like that, I think that's where they're going to lose out, where you might have a great defense or you might have someone like Ben who can equal what Brady can do. I think that's where it's going to come off. But I think Belichick loves coaching like this, where he can really get in his lab and on offense and defense and create. I think that's when they're most dangerous and let Brady do his thing. So I think they're gonna be good. This is a real deal. They're going to be good, whether it's good enough to win the Super Bowl. You know, I don't think that's it.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be good enough to win the Super Bowl. I think they'll have a great record, be a 1 or 2 seed in the AFC, and get knocked off by a Baltimore or Pittsburgh or New York. Because I think those teams are one well equipped to beat them, and then two, I think those are just better football teams.
Right. They have the most talent, you know, and that's, you know, New England is winning now because they're playing within their abilities. You know, they're making the routes that they're supposed to make. They're not going to ad lib anything, and it's going to be interesting to see how they play, you know, from behind with the talent that they have against some of the better teams. But right now, you know, they're doing exactly what they have to do to win, and they're just well coached and well disciplined. So, you know, they're going to be contenders, but they're not going to have the talent to stack up against the Ravens or the Steelers or the Jets.
Yeah, speaking of the Jets, these boys got shut out. How'd it happen? Somebody let me know. I know I picked the Jets. I can't remember. Who'd you pick, Devon?
Man, who did I pick?
I picked the Jets. I know I picked the Jets. I think you went to Jets, too.
I don't think I went.
Yeah, I went with Green Bay.
You went to Packers. You went with the Packers on the road against the Jets.
Right.
You know, and again, I told you that it was a game.
We're going to have to check the tape on that one.
I certainly didn't expect the Packers to win like this.
I didn't think they had a shot. I didn't think they had much of a chance to win this game. It just didn't look like it was going to go their way. Too many injuries, too many factors going against them. The Jets looked like they were, you know, I think they still are the better team. They just weren't a better team on Sunday.
You know, they came out of the bye week. I thought that, they would, you know, there's no way that I thought the Jets would play a game like this.
Well, they don't score any points.
Right. I thought the Packers were going to have to light it up. I thought that they had the talent to light it up. I thought they'd have to throw, you know, 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns. And I thought that they were going to come out and be prepared to do that. I think this is one of those, you know, these two teams counterpunched all day. And
mm-hmm.
nobody really drew blood. And then it got too late. And the Packers realized, hell, we ain't got to do a whole lot to win this. You know, I didn't think this was going to be a 6-9 ball game, 9-3 ball game. No, it was a shutout. So, I mean, it was, you know, this wasn't one of the most exciting football games to watch.
Well, I think, you know, the big thing about a guy like Sanchez is, you know, what it is that it's a team led by a second-year quarterback who's going to have performances like this. I think he's going to have more great performances than bad ones, but every once in a while he's going to have a dud like this. And you have a dud against a team that has – who could take away his comfort zone options. So he was getting comfortable with Braylon. And, I mean, you got those corners who can lock down. like Green Bay has. Even though they got injuries, they got guys who can lock down and take away things that he feels comfortable with. So, you know, if we thought through it a little bit, you know, hindsight, you know, you can see those are going to be proper matchups with him, because now you're making him go to multiple options, and he's still learning as a quarterback. So I think that's what he hurts him, but, you know, I still think they're a great team.
Mm-hmm. And so what did this game say about Green Bay?
Well,
because, again, it was an unexpected result. I mean, you know, we expected their offense to carry him, didn't expect much out of the defense, and the defense showed up and showed out.
Exactly, and that's exactly what it says about Green Bay, is that their defense is a hell of a lot better than even the numbers say. You know, they had a good defense last year, and it's only gotten better. You know, I think Clay Matthews is just, you know, he's been the story on that defense, and he wants to be the face of that defense, and he makes these other teams just, you know, follow what he does. He has to be held accountable. But what the real deal with that is that there are other players on that defense that play just as well, or playing, you know, almost as well. So, you know, for Packers to play as well as they did on defense, you know, it seemed like it should be a surprise. But, you know, to go into New York, you know, with them coming off a bye week, they had a week to prepare for Green Bay, and they just couldn't run. They just couldn't get into their offense. They couldn't do what they wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the Packers win that game. They, you know, start to look like they can take control of that division in the Central. And, you know, the Jets are still one of the best teams in the AFC, and I still expect the Jets to be right there to the end. Another team that we kind of expect to be right there at the end is Pittsburgh. And they took one on the chin in New Orleans, which was a really physical game. It was a really physical game, which you don't expect New Orleans to win, because they just don't seem like a team that strikes you that way, especially when their two best running backs are on the shelf right now. So they were able to out-muscle Pittsburgh, which was surprising. It was very surprising, because that wasn't – I don't remember how we picked this one. I can't remember who I picked in this one, actually.
I think I went with Pittsburgh. I think I went with Pittsburgh, and I think
I know Devon went with Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
I know Devon went with Pittsburgh.
I'm sure that I went with Pittsburgh. I'll keep going with Pittsburgh. This is one of those games that said more about the backbone of the Saints than it did for any kind of letdown of Pittsburgh. You know, the Saints just came out and said, you know, we are the champions. You know, you can't just come in here and punk us. You know, we are the champions. And then they played that way. I mean, it was a hard-fought football game. It was a physical football game. It was one that I'm sure Pittsburgh thought that they were going to go in there and win. And when they got there, they found out that the Saints are still a good football team.
Yeah.
And
I would say with a Heath Miller fumble late when they're going driving, I mean, there were some plays made down the stretch, but the Steelers were still in a chance to win it. And then, you know, you had a couple of things. Heath Miller fumbling, who he normally wouldn't fumble. And then you had Polamalu kind of being out of position on a deep throw when they had him on a – you know, so you had some things that happened. If I'm the Steelers, I'm like, you know, this is one we could have had. But I had a – you know, I picked it on heart, you know, just on my Steeler fan – kind of heart going at it, more so than my head is like, I know this was a trap game, a hard game for them. It's the kind of game they might lose going there. But they were in it to the end, you know, with the fumble at the end. So, like I agree with you, said there's a lot about New Orleans, and I look for them to go on a little run that kind of started week before. I think they're going to go on a run and get back into, you know, emerging to that, being that team. It looked like a preview to a Super Bowl to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I
guess you don't see your Steelers losing it, huh? You don't want that.
Well, a preview to the Super Bowl on a neutral site.
A neutral site, they can take them down, huh?
You know, the thing that New Orleans had to take away from that is that they are going to start to get some of these pieces back, and when they do.
Yeah,
you know, they got to feel a lot like Pittsburgh did when Ben was gone. I mean, it's like we can beat you. If we can beat you like this, wait till we get somebody. You know,
Yeah, and maybe New Orleans and Green Bay, who are starting to get some pieces back on defense, you know, maybe they do start to turn the corner and start to look like some exceptional teams in the second half of the season. Because, again, we're only halfway right now, you know, and the first half has been kind of a dud. In my opinion, it's kind of been of a dud. It's been a bit of a dud. But, you know, as teams start to get a little bit, get their health back, you know, things could spice up, especially in the NFC, which is still wide open. You got a young Tampa Bay team, a young St. Louis team playing well. You know, Atlanta's been playing well. And then you got the Saints and the Packers lurking. You got the Giants lurking. The Eagles are lurking. Vic is going to be back this week. So,
yeah. You know, the thing I worry about is the Packers.
It's going to get interesting.
Packers still haven't addressed that running game. And the Central doesn't look like it's testing. You know, the Packers are going to – what I'm afraid that the Packers are going to do is just hold back and say, oh, we, you know, we can play good enough to win the Central. We'll make it to the playoffs. You know, we've already shown that, you know, we don't have to score a lot of points to beat a good football team. You know, they don't have that sense of – I'm afraid that they're not going to have that sense of urgency to make one of these runs. You know, they're going to get into the – you know, they got the you know, their bye after this week. I'm afraid that they're going to get complacent. I'm afraid that they think that, you know, they're already a lock for the playoffs, the way that Minnesota's playing, the way that Chicago is, you know, exposing themselves. I don't think they're, you know, respecting Detroit. So,
I'd watch out for Detroit, man. With Stafford back,
right?
They look. Right. I mean, Detroit looks like they're a year away.
Yeah.
I think they're a year away from being a playoff team.
Yeah.
You know, I think Stafford needs another year under his belt of taking his lumps and learning how to play the position. But Detroit looks good. That boy is a beast. That boy is a man. I mean, he is handling cats in the trenches.
Javon Best is playing. He's playing good football. So
yeah,
you know, Calvin Johnson.
So, I mean, the pieces are there.
You know, they've got a fine young football team.
Yeah, yeah. So the other game we were looking at for this week, Houston and Indianapolis. I think we all went Indy on this one. Houston.
Indy at home.
Yeah. Yeah, Indy at home. It's Houston. There's that mental block thing. You know, that Houston seems to have with Indianapolis that they thought they were over. But nine straight losses in Indy.
It's like the Charlie Brown commercial.
Right before they get it, he yanked the ball away.
Did you have a chance to watch the game? Did you watch any of it? Because, you know, when you watch Peyton Manning at home, he just beat you, you know. What do you say? You see him out there, the defenses are making their adjustments. He calls, he audibles out, he makes the adjustments, and he realizes that, you know, this is a good young team, but he picks you apart, and all of a sudden.
He does, man.
Was that Lombardi or Witness said something? What it was, I'll beat yours with mine. Yours and yours with mine, or something like that. You know, Peyton will beat you. Peyton was playing with cats. You had to look on a depth chart. He's still running the same offense.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's got spare parts out there, man. He's got spare parts. He's got backup tight end, two practice squad receivers, or something like that, man. And he's getting it done. I mean, that dude is a robot. He is a football robot.
It wasn't Lombardi. It was Dolph Stanley. I'll come back tomorrow and I'll coach your team and beat you again.
Those are the games from last week. Those are the ones from last week. And that division in the South is getting sticky because Jacksonville doesn't want to go away, and Tennessee's been solid all year. They lost this week, but
for the most part, they've been solid all year, as has Houston. So that division is still up in the air, still up for grabs. So that's going to be a game that's going to play a big role in who wins that division down the stretch because it evened out Indy's record in the division. They were 1-2. Now they're 2-1. And it also evened them up in the tiebreak situation with Houston. So that's going to definitely play a role. And Indy's got a big game this week, which is one of our – which can lead us into our picks for this week. Indy is going out to Philly. Philly at home against Indy. Mike Vick's coming back. Peyton Manning. Indianapolis got some banged-up running backs. Adai's been out. They don't know if they're going to have him back. Then Dallas Clark is gone. Austin Collie's gone. You know, it's kind of – Indy's hurting, but, you know, Philly's coming off a bye, and they're getting the machine Mike Vick back. And if they can recapture the rhythm that they had before he got injured, Philly could be a team that makes some noise down the stretch.
Sure. And this is a good game to start that with. I mean, this is a game that I think Philly should win, and I'll go ahead and start and say that I'll take Philly this week because I think that Indy can be ran on. And having said that, it plays right into what Philly should be trying to do. You know, a few dinks and dunks, a couple shots downfield, and run the football. You know, hand it off and let them go. And you know, I think that, you know, Vic will be the X factor because there's going to be times when he's you know, caught outside of the pocket. And what he's shown, you know, so far this year is that it doesn't mean that he's going to tuck the ball and run. And I think that that's what's going to scare this run defense to death. And so they're going to overreact, and Vic's going to throw touchdowns. I think that they're going to try
I'm also going with Philly. Because I also think part of Indianapolis' biggest thing is that when they get up, when they get a lead, those Mathis and Freeney pin their ears back.
Yeah.
And they get after the passer. And you can't do that with Vic.
No.
You can't do that.
No.
You can't be that aggressive up the field. You have to maintain your discipline, stay in your lane, you know, and play a containment type of defense. And, again, they're already easy to run on.
Right.
And if they're in a containment type of defense and they can't get you in those third and long situations, then those defensive ends, you know, can't get after you full throttle. And so that's going to take an element of what they do away.
I think
my question is, when are they getting Sanders back?
Who knows? He'll be hurt right after they get him back. Like Bob Sanders. Bob Sanders is the Greg Oden of football.
What'd
the dude
say,
is brittle.
What do you say, Oden had graphite? Was it Oden you said had graphite?
Graphite bone marrow.
Yeah. Snap like a pistol lid.
Tell you, man. Bob Sanders the same way. It don't help that he 5'9", like 195 pounds, playing safety. You know, you might be able to get away with that as a scat back or something like that, but when you play in safety and you play the way he play, I mean,
right.
he plays with reckless abandon. So he's always hurt. I mean, I don't even know if they even care if Bob Sanders is back in Indianapolis no more. They've been playing without him for so long.
I'll say this. I think Michael Vick is going to play a great game, but I think the sheriff is going to apprehend him in the end. I think Indianapolis is going to find a way to end. They're going to kick a field goal, and he's going to run out of there looking like a big-ass giraffe.
The vibe going with Indy. Got it down.
But here's the thing, too. You know, Indy went into Houston, and when they got down, when they got behind, they didn't look very good, and they had pieces of the puzzle to do it. I think when Philly gets them down, and if they can jump on them early and make them, you know, make them play a little bit more aggressively, I think that it's going to show how little talent that Indy has with all the injuries that they have. And, you know, just like in Houston, when they got down a little bit, when Indy is up, they can just beat them, you know. But when they're playing from behind, I think they get a little careless.
One thing I say about Philly, it's not your cousin's Philly's defense anymore. I mean, they're still kind of young in some spots. And I think that even though he's got some moving parts that he's trying to plug in there, I think he can take advantage of some of the matchups. If they try and blitz him, if, you know, if they're going to try and put pressure on, that's what Peyton kills you. And so I think it'll be a shootout, or I think it'll be, I just think that, you know, the sheriff will have one more bullet in the gun. And he'll be like, Marlo, close your eyes, this ain't going to hurt.
I feel like Indy's going to, I think Indy, you know, I think they just had too much of a disadvantage because I feel like they play best when they're up. If they jump out early, that's when that defense can do what they do. Those defensive ends can do what they do. And then Peyton can just put the pressure on you, and he can pick you apart. Because, one, you're not keeping them off the field because you're playing catch-up, so you're throwing the ball more. So that strategy goes out of the window as far as just keeping them off the field. And then, two, those defensive ends are getting after you. And now you have two of the fastest defensive players in the whole league, you know, going against your, you know, leaving piss stains in your offensive tackle spans, you know. and that's what it boils down to. When you get up early on Indianapolis, they're a different team because they can't play that style. They got up on Houston. And once they got up on Houston, they got up comfortably on Houston. It was a done deal because Houston just couldn't match them.
Sure, but in that first game when they got down to Houston, you know, they had to chase.
The only problem is Andy Reid's not committed to the run. So he's not a guy who's going to run for 200 yards. He's just not. He's a guy who likes to throw, which fits right into Indianapolis's game plan. Andy Reid just doesn't coach that way, even though it might make sense.
Right.
He's not going to have a 50-50 run to pass ratio. That's just not Andy.
No.
But the cover two does play well for Vic, though.
Because with
the cover two, which is what Indianapolis runs, you got to have that middle linebacker dropping back and covering the middle of that field. And you can't let your middle linebacker do that with Michael Vick back there.
No, you got to.
You got to keep that middle linebacker in spy mode. And that's going to open up the middle of the field, and Vick is going to be able to take advantage of that.
Which I think they played hybrids of that this year. I mean, they're not as committed to it as the Dungy years and stuff. I think like I said, Vick is going to make plays. But I think the things that hurt Indy is what Philadelphia doesn't do well. Like, so Philadelphia doesn't run the football, which is the kind of thing you need to do against Indianapolis defense. And Philly just doesn't commit to the run. I mean, they just don't. I think that's going to be part of the problem. And then they're easily pushed into a one-dimensional kind of flow.
Okay. All right, so you taking Indy, me and Ray got Philly. Next game, Giants versus Seattle. Seahawks that topped the AFC West. Looking pretty solid. I wouldn't say they're looking great. They're looking solid. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a cherry on a pile of doo-doo. You know, they're at the top. No matter what, they're on top. So, and they're going against the Giants. If I'm Matt Hasselbeck, I'm checking my insurance policy real quick. Because the Giants bring the pain. You know, if there's one team that I think Brett Favre don't want to see, he don't want to see the Giants no time soon. Because this streak will be over if they play against them.
Yeah, this is like Tyson against Marvin Frazier. What was his son's name? Is that where it was? You know,
Marvin.
He just was scared. He was scared, and it was, you know, this is where the glass shoe and all that stuff, the glass house is just going to be showing it. I'm going with New York.
It wasn't but a few weeks ago we were talking about, you know, the Giants and how, you know, they may not be as good as they are. And you know, one of the things that we're finding out is that they're a pretty consistent football team. And when they get to play a team like Seattle, then they get to really show out what they can do. They've got two good running backs. They play good offense. The defense brings a lot of pain. I got to go with the Giants on this one, too.
Well, I'm a buck the trend. I'm going to go with Seattle with the upset at home. That's a tough place to play for a lot of teams. And, you know, coming off the bye, I think the Giants may be a little flat. So I'm going to go with Seattle. I'm going to go with Seattle, shake it up a little bit. I don't know why, other than the fact that they play well at home.
You better go to Starbucks.
I don't even drink coffee. Every time I drink coffee, I get a headache, man. When I first started working for the school district, I was like, yeah, I'm going to take up drinking coffee. And I tried it for like 2 days, man. I got enough energy as it is. I don't need to drink no coffee. I'm young.
When you watch that game on Sunday, you're going to get a headache.
I probably will. It won't be as bad as Matt Hasselbeck's. No matter what, it won't be as bad as Matt Hasselbeck's. I tell you that. So I'm gonna go with Seattle on that one. I think I'm gonna be right, but we'll see. Then we got two games that, I mean, it really wasn't a good week for games, partly because of the disappointing teams like Dallas. Dallas is playing Green Bay this week, and that should be a big game, but obviously it's not anymore. Because, one, Dallas is bad. And
let's boycott any Dallas game. It's not a game.
That would have been a game if Dallas wasn't so terrible. We got some newcomers to the weekly pick, some teams that we haven't really weighed in on yet. We got KC and Oakland. This is like taking it back to like 95.
Right.
You know, the early 80s, early 90s, when these two teams used to go at it and the game meant something. Well, this game means something. Oakland's been hot the last 2 weeks. Hot. Oakland has been playing really well. I mean, they've been putting up points. Jason Campbell has got that team like looking like they know how to play an offense. They have an offense in their NFL team for the first time in probably about 3 or 4 years. And Kansas City keeps winning.
10 years.
Yeah, Kansas City keep on trucking. They got a hell of a running game. They got a nice defense. And they have a formula. You know, early in the season, we were kind of like, what is their identity? Who are they? How are they going to beat you? And I think the last couple of weeks, you're starting to see it. They go and ram the ball down your throat with those two running backs. And Castle's going to make enough plays. And the defense is going to do their thing. And they're going to
And they don't apologize for that. That's the beauty of
right.
it. That they do run the ball down your throat. You know, they line it up.
And then they get that one play from their special teams or just one wacky-ass play where you're like, damn, the ball bounced their way right there. You know, and they get that every week.
But they're making that happen. You know, that's the beauty
you're
of
right.
it. That
you're right. You're absolutely right.
They're playing in such a way that they should get that bounce. They're playing with that high intensity, that high level that, you know, that gives them those opportunities. But again, on offense, they just line up and run the ball down your throat. It's like, you know, we know what we're good at. You know, we talk about teams always trying to find their identity. This team certainly has found their identity. They make no apologies for it. They just, this is what we do. This is all we're good at, but we're really good at it, you know. And we're just going to do this. And they challenge you. And then on defense, they scramble and come after you. So, you know, as good as Oakland has been playing, and they have been playing really good, I'll still take Kansas City in this game. I still think that they have, again, the talent to win.
Now, is that Kansas City? Is that in Kansas City or in Oakland?
That game is in Oakland. It's in the black hole. It's in the black hole. Let me double check, but I think it is in the black hole.
I think it is now.
Schedule week 9, and they are playing this game in Oakland, in the black hole, in Oakland, Alameda County Coliseum. But, yeah, that game is going to be in Oakland.
Ooh. Oh, man, that makes it tough.
And that's your team right there. That was your sleeper pick with Kansas City, man.
Yeah, Kansas City is my sleeper pick, but this is in Oakland. Yeah, you know, this is a rivalry game. They throw everything out the window. Man. You're right, this goes back. This is back. This is going way back. This is where they might be some fighting on the field. I'm going to go with I don't even know. This is a pick 'em. I'm going to ride Kansas City since I picked them up front. I really think I should go to Oakland, but I'm going to go to Kansas City.
Okay. So you're going to KC? I'm going to go home team again. I'm going to Oakland. Oakland's hot. McFadden, that dude is playing like everybody thought he was going to play.
Yeah, he certainly is.
You know, he may be one of the – he may have put himself into that top 10 backs conversation. You know, everybody wasn't sure if he was going to pan out. He's finally healthy, and he's showing what he can do. And
are they still getting a couple plays a week out of Bush, too, though?
Yeah. So, I mean, Bush is helping keeping him fresh, but he's handling the majority of the load.
Right. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. But, I mean, what's helping them along, too, is that they are getting a couple good plays out of Bush every week. They're not getting that letdown when they have that transition. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's going well for him. I mean, McFadden, I'm going with McFadden. I'm going with Run DMC and Jason Campbell and, you know, the guys out in Oakland to win that one. So I'm going to roll with that one. The next game we got, another upstart team, Tampa Bay versus Atlanta, in Atlanta. Here's something I want to throw out there with Atlanta, and I'm going to Tampa Bay in this game. Because I like the moxie of the quarterback there. And that's what this matchup boils down to for me, is I like the cut on Josh Freeman's jaw better than I like the boy in Atlanta, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, I mean, he had that good rookie year, but he seems like he hasn't gotten any better. I mean, he seems like the same player. I still don't see him taking over games as a quarterback and being able to lead that team on scoring drives through the air. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see it yet. And, you know, I see Freeman making more plays down the stretch. Freeman's got a swag to him. He plays well in pressure situations. Kid's calm. And, you know, they got something going down there in Tampa. If they can keep a consistent running game, they're going to be tough because Freeman could toss the rock.
Well, I think I don't know that they can keep a consistent running game, and I think that's part of their problem is that they don't block well, I'll take Atlanta at home, you know, this week because they're playing well, but I don't think that they will, you know, establish the run like they need to. And I question their blocking ability.
You know, I look at it like, you know, was it Raheem? He getting a little carried away about being the best in the NFC. I think they're up and coming. I'm like, bro, I love you, but man, don't drink that purple drink down there. Don't drink that purple drink. I'm gonna go with Atlanta. At home, I just think it's going to be. I think a lot of things that you pointed out were important. But I think, you know, they'll have that running game going. You know, it'll be rocking. It's a home, but you know they'll win with a field goal at the end. It's going to be a tight game. I think Freeman's had some great court comebacks down there. I think he's a young. But I think this is a game that they just kind of take a bump back in, and I just think Atlanta will edge them, just because I think they'll do well. They'll play well at home.
Okay. So we got our picks in for this week. So, we're going to see how those pan out. Those will be going up on Facebook. So if you want to check those out, pick against us, you're welcome to. You probably fail because, you know, I really get these wrong. I don't know about these other two cats, but I know I really get these wrong.
If you do,
as long as your kids
are
taking that list, we can do it.
Yeah, as long as my kids don't eat the list. You know, somebody don't eat the list. You know how that goes. So one thing I wanted to play for you guys, last week we talked about LeBron's commercial with the NBA season getting kicked off. Michael Jordan has a commercial, and it sounds a little bit similar. It almost sounds like he's talking to LeBron. I'm going to let y'all listen, and I'm going to let you guys weigh in. I'm going to play it real quick for you.
Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym. Maybe I made you think that every shot I took was a game winner. That my game was built on flash and not fire. Maybe it's my fault that you didn't see that failure gave me strength. That my pain was my motivation. Maybe I led you to believe that basketball was a God-given gift.
All right, so did y'all fellas hear that?
Every single day of my life. Maybe I destroyed the game.
Maybe I destroyed the game.
Just making excuses.
Maybe you're just making excuses. Cut it out, LeBron. Quit making excuses.
Yeah.
So that's Mike's answer. Mike drops a commercial. Is this gonna keep going all season? Are they gonna go back and forth at each other, dropping these commercials with these little subliminal messages in them?
What Mike has got to understand is this: this kid, he ain't friends with Jay-Z for you. This you see, the thing about your rebut might be nice and might match it, but this young cat, you ain't. He got some Jay-Z in him, so
he say, "Don't go there."
Don't go there with this young boy. There's certain things you just let go. I'm just saying it. This kid grew up with the battle rap.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's interesting, man. You know, like I said, it seems like Mike tries to come back at him. He really does. He really tries to throw a little something out there in an indirect but still, you know, sneaky kind of way. And, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting. Like I said, at the end of it, he says, maybe I just, no, you didn't. You didn't mess up, LeBron. I destroyed the game. Mike want to take credit for everything.
Right.
He want to take credit for everything. Mike want to say, nah, this is all me. You just a byproduct of my mistakes.
Like,
your mistake is a byproduct of my mistake.
At some point, LeBron, he's just going to have to play basketball. That's why I don't want to see this keep going, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I agree. I think that's what it boils down to. You're a basketball player with basketball.
Yeah, I don't want to see him in the studio all the time. You know, I would make commercials and take your time out. You know, if they would have taped all this stuff back, you know, a month ago, that's fine. But, you know, these things, you know, now if you see LeBron, you know, rebut it again, rebut this, you know that it took time out of his schedule. He missed practice or something. Just go play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so quit making these disc commercials.
Right.
It's not
exactly.
Marcus, at some point we have to talk about Dwight Howard, though. He
asked. Oh, you know what? We do have to touch on that, man. We do have to touch on that. And you know what? I promised Phil T. I would, man. And then before we go, that's going to be my closing statement. Props to Dwight Howard. Dude does know how to play offensive basketball. He learned a little something over the summer. He worked on his game, and he looked good in that Heat game. The rest of the team, not for much. But he looked like he was ready to play.
Hey, Dwight, call Heat, though.
You know, that was one of those situations. That was a marriage that shouldn't have broke up, man. They should have, you know, Hedo thought it was going to be better and nicer in Toronto because they was going to give him more money. But, you know, all the glitters ain't gold.
That's right.
You know,
sometimes a Mack truck coming at you.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all we got for today. Your Real Sports Guys Radio. Come check us out next week. Hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook. Gonna put the picks up. You know, I feel a little feisty this week, so I think I'm gonna try to throw something out there. I had my own Facebook page going this week, talking about paying college athletes and you know, just some different things I threw out there. You know, with the Heat getting started, getting off to a slow start. So I'm gonna see if I can stir the pot a little bit. I like to do that in my spare time. So, you know, I'm going to see if I can get the Facebook page going a little bit. So if you want to check us out, you want to go at me for a little bit, hit us up on the Facebook page, Real Sports Guys on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. Get at us. Fellas, you got about 25 seconds. Close it out.
Well, I want to say is congratulations to the Giants. This is telling you why the MLB doesn't have a brand. We spent like 2 minutes on the Giants.
I'm like 10 seconds.
I think Tim Lincecum should have been MVP. You don't pitch two games like that without being MVP.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right on that. You're right on that. Young man, put in work. Put in work. All right. We are out. Woo. Show's done, fellas. Y'all still there?
So we're in the after hours part of the show.
This is the after hours. This is the extra. This is the extra for all you downloaders. For all the people that download, this is the extra that they get. Phil T helped me up on this. He said, you know, when y'all stop talking, that still comes through on the download.
So when
you download the show, you still get this extra time. So this is like the secret. You got to know the secret code to get what we're going to say here. And this is going to be a little bit different than what we do on air.
That's right. This is the after hours. This is get your drink, pull up on the table. What's that with Scoop Jackson? What's it called?
Is it cognac? Is it yak that does that? Is yak? Is cognac or Hennessy? One of them two sponsors that. Or maybe it's Jim Beam. It's Jim Beam, ain't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that. Something along those lines.
They're sitting there. But yeah, Dwight Howard. I sat there and watched that sequence. He put some moves together.
He did. One thing that I will say, and it was pointed out by the announcers, is that. And Van Gundy and Jackson kept harping on it, is that, you know, it's good that he has a jump shot and he's taking the jump shot. But if I'm playing defense on him, great. He just bailed me out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because what he needs to go to more is he does have a nice little running hook and he has improved his footwork in the post. So he's making spin moves and doing those kind of things, which he wasn't really doing before. And he's making them and being able to finish. Before, he was making them, but then just basically, you know, knocking people over and just flailing his arms all over the place and getting fouled that way. But now it looks like he can finish. But the thing he's got to keep doing is he's got to relax on the jump shot and continue to attack the basket because that's where he's going. The jump shot will come. He's got to keep attacking the basket.
He's got it. I mean, they got to have some other people step up on their team to give them something. And I'm gonna call Carter the 10 man. I mean, he just he crumbled when he got hurt in that game.
Yeah, man.
Because, I mean,
it didn't even look like it was all of that either. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, so they got some issues right there. That they're going to be looking to compete, that they're going to have to address and figure out, you know, where they're going to go with that.
Orlando's just soft to me, man. Just soft to me. I don't buy them. I think they're a good regular season team, but when it comes down to banging with the big boys, I just don't think they have the mentality. You know, and they're talking about, you know, there's been some scuttle about them trying to get Gilbert Arenas there, and at least he would give them a little bit of crazy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I think they need an edge. You know, they need a cat that just don't care. Just in the same way that having Vernon Maxwell helped the Rockets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Having Mad Max helped the Rockets because Hakeem was a very reserved guy. You know what I mean? Clyde was a very reserved dude. But Mad Max didn't care. You know, you need that. Mad Max was never afraid of the moment because I don't think he was ever aware of where he was at.
And you got to wonder whether or not Van Gundy will allow that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's the part. Is he gonna micromanage that I think he would be a great addition because they need some, like you said, to shake him up a little bit because they're not getting the production from the other players at all. I mean,
yeah,
Howard's putting his work in.
Yeah, and I mean Rashard Lewis, you know,
funny.
Yeah, he's doing checks. He's doing checks. So Orlando, I'm not sold on them right now. Miami's going to take a second, but they're starting to put it together. And what you're seeing is they figured it, I think after the first couple of games, and they're smart basketball guys, they figured it out. LeBron needs to facilitate.
Yeah.
What you'll notice is that when they do struggle, they're going to struggle because LeBron ain't facilitating. And that's anytime LeBron tries to take over, the rest of the guys are not going to know what to do. They're not going to know what to do without the ball or without somebody setting them up. So LeBron, and they ain't got no point guard. So LeBron's got to be the main facilitator. And once he becomes, and it seems like he had 12 assists a night. Once he reconciles himself to that, I'm just going to be the facilitator for this team. I'm going to be the big-ass point guard. They're going to be hard to beat.
Bosh
is still. Go ahead.
Bosh is still what?
I was saying Bosh is still, seem to want to still try to find his way on offense. You know,
right.
Even though he's still trying to find his way. He's not comfortable. But they are spreading their minutes out enough where Bosh might be on the floor with some other guys where he can be featured, or he might be on there with LeBron without Wade where he can begin to find space and score. So I think they're finding that rotation.
They just need to figure out that they just need to run pick and roll with Bosh. If you run pick and roll with Bosh and LeBron,
right,
that's impossible to cover because
right,
you can't help off Bosh because he can shoot it out to about 20 feet. So you just run, and you gotta get the ball out of LeBron's hands off the pick and roll. So that's really all you gotta do with Bosh to get him involved. Is start running pick and roll, and maybe they don't want to show their hand too soon, but I would think that they would know that. Like, he's a perfect pick and pop, pick and fade, pick and roll type cat. Throwing the ball to him on the block, and maybe they want him to develop that over the course of the season so that they can do that in the playoff. But his bread and butter is going to be pick and pop plays, pick and roll plays.
My feeling is you can't beat Boston that way.
Right. Right.
They're not going to be. Boston's not going to be a factor in the Boston series. I'm convinced of that. Boston's not going to be a factor in the Boston series. LeBron and D Wade are going to have to win the Boston series if they play Boston. Bosh will not be a factor. Their front line is too deep. Their front line is too physical, and Bosh isn't a physical post player. You saw that.
Exactly.
He looked terrified against KG.
I seen a quote. I read something on Kevin McHale talking about the Heat, and I found it interesting because it's true. You know, he said the only way that the Heat is going to beat height is with speed, and so this team has to learn how to play at a faster pace.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, when they do match up with these Boston teams, when they do match up with these LA teams, especially over a multi-game series, you know, later on, if they don't learn to play at a faster pace, it's these big teams that'll slow them down. The pick and roll won't be effective, you know, because that is a slower setup. They're going to have to be able to get out and run, and the only way that you beat height is with speed. And if you don't get out and run with them, they're going to just sit there and pick you apart in a half court game. So.
But they got to learn how to play half court, because when's the last time you seen a running team win the NBA championship?
You can't do it over a 5 and 7 game series. You can't
exactly.
Run like
so. They got to learn how to play. They could play faster. What they have to do is capitalize off. They're gonna be a tough ass defensive team. Is what they're gonna be. They can play some defense. That's gonna be their calling card. If they can turn you over and get out on the break, that's where they're gonna just. Destroy teams.
But they
got to be like the Bulls.
Right.
Jordan and Pippen.
Turn
you over and get out and run.
Yeah.
But I do like
and LeBron's going to be Pippen in this situation.
You know, and if they have an opportunity to develop a pick and roll, you know, that might be their go-to once they do have to slow it down. Because, if you can brush somebody off,
because what they're going to have to do when they play against those big teams is you have to move those guys away from the basket. Because if you let, Garnett sit in the paint and you let Shaq sit in the paint and you let those dudes be able to sit in the paint against you, that team doesn't shoot the ball well enough. To even the stars, LeBron and D-Wade have to get hot, is the perimeter defense going to allow that? Probably not. Not with Boston or the Lakers. You know, they got good perimeter defenders and they got good principals, and so they'll be able to control, for the most part, as well as you can control LeBron or D-Wade on the perimeter. They'll be able to control that. So it's going to boil down to how can you get those bigs away from the basket so that LeBron and D-Wade can't attack.
When does Miller come back?
January.
January?
Yeah.
See, that's if they keep, putting some pieces together, giving them a different look.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, James Jones, that boy is having a field day because he's like, man, I've never been this open in my life.
Oh my goodness, he like a kid in a candy store in Orlando.
Man, he be pump faking for the sake of pump faking. Really be out there pump faking like, well, that's what I usually do. But ain't nobody coming.
Ain't nobody coming. They just, I mean, it's like open. It's like shooting by yourself at the park.
Yeah, man. So that's gonna be a fun. That's gonna be a fun team to watch. That's gonna be a real fun team to watch because, you know, it's gonna be interesting. I think they started to figure it out though. Let D Wade do the scoring. LeBron sets everybody up, and then I think they still got to figure out how to work in Chris Bosh. And I think that's gonna be the most difficult part too, is because LeBron and D Wade have never played. Neither one of them has played. I mean, D Wade had that year with Shaq, but even then, Shaq wasn't Shaq. You know. He wasn't a 25-point, 12-rebound dude that he was in his younger days when he was playing with Kobe. So, you know, neither one of them has really played with a legitimate post presence, somebody that you needed to get the ball to or you could get the ball to in the post. And I don't think Bosh is that. I think Bosh is, Bosh is a perimeter four, you know, a lot like Antoine Jameson. He doesn't have Jameson's range, but he's a similar type of player.
I think that he can get down, you know, he should be able to get down the court better, though. And I think
absolutely. And that's maybe what they need to do with Bosh is find ways to move him more and get him into motion more. Because he can move well. He's fast. He's quick. He can move well. And if they can have a big chasing him, you know, get him on some back cuts, you know, finish and things like that, and let LeBron use his vision to get him the ball, then, you know, that could be beneficial for all parties involved because, again, you get a big away from the basket, you get him caught in movement, you know, he's got to guard this guy on the perimeter and chase him around. You know, that's going to open things up for LeBron and for D-Wade more than anything else.
Yep. And I think, you know, I mean, one of the things they've got to, you know, figure out how to do is, you know, they got to continue to figure out how to get easy scores. I mean, because if you're playing from the outside in, you're gonna be working hard for every basket. So they got to figure out, you know, this is the one issue about LeBron not having a strong post game, because, you know, he provides some different pressures on people, you know, that can happen. The one thing Bosh can do, if they can figure out, he can make some easy nights for him. You know, he can make it easy on Wade. You know, he can make it easier on LeBron. I mean, if they can figure out how to get him in the game, he's going to catch and make some easy nights on it because he's going to be a tough cover. You only got two or three teams that got somebody who can really stick with him.
Right.
He can make some real easy nights for you if you get him going. Because that's not where strength in the league is for the most part. You know, even some of the great power fours aren't great defenders.
Uh-huh.
So he can eat them up. Yeah, and not everybody's a Kevin Garnett. So, you know, he's the one guy who could have a matchup every night that he could just be killing and make for an easy night if they realize that. But he can allow for some easy baskets. So I think, but I like what Eric Spoelstra is doing. You can tell he's kind of putting his imprint on them. He's working with them. You know, I'm happiest for him.
Yeah.
You know, that he's, you know, and they're really listening to what he's trying to get done.
But the fact that they're, you know, they're bread and butter, you know, what they're trying to establish is that defense.
And, yep.
If they can keep some of these teams down, if they can keep Boston under 90, you know, they're going to be a hell of a team. And the
I think that's a smart thing for Spoelstra to do because I think that's where they're going to hang their hat. I think that's where they can be amazing is on defense.
That's their challenge. I think, you know, here's a team with three guys who, you know, are all stars. And what he's challenging them to do is to not add another wrinkle, but just not have a wrinkle on defense. Just have that smooth as silk. You know, we're going to score. Scoring is going to come. We're going to figure out how to go down the court. We're going to figure out how to get out on these breaks. You know, we're going to figure out how Bosh can keep, you know, Garnett two or three steps away from the basket where he's not as comfortable. You know, they'll figure that out. But if they can, hang their hat on their defense and have something to really rally all of them behind, then nobody's, you know, holding their hand up and saying, this is my team, this is my team, this is my team. Because defense is all about help. Defense is all about coming over. Defense is about taking chances. And getting beat. You got to get beat. If you're going to play good defense, it means that you're going to get left once in a while. And if these other guys roll over...
The one thing I would say about both LeBron and Wade, they both can guard a man and a half, like Pippen and Jordan could do. That's what adds it.
Right.
LeBron can cover ground and help in block shots. So it creates, I mean, they could create some havoc with both those guys. They can really make getting into your offense very difficult if they buy into it. So
They seem to be buying into it. And they're talking about it. You know, they're talking about how you know, our goal is to play this good team defense, a good individual defense, and make these other teams really work. The scoring will come. And when they realize that, when these young guys realize that, they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, and also, you know, from a coaching perspective, getting the defense in order with this team, I think, is going to carry them through the early season games while they figure out how to play together on offense. And I think that's what Bolster is being smart about, too, is that, like, I don't need to put too much pressure on these guys offensively right now, because that's where the tension exists. You know what I mean? That's where everybody's waiting on these dudes to implode. We need to focus on our defense, let that carry us through these early games, and we'll figure out how to play together on offense, simply because none of these guys, a team like this hasn't been around for a minute. You know, you haven't had a team of guys who were ones on their previous teams and probably top 10 players in the league come together after 7 years in the league.
Right.
You know what I mean? You haven't had that. Well, usually when you get a trio of guys like this together, they've been together for a minute. Either they were drafted into the situation, you know, and one guy was added on, but three guys who had never had any experience playing together during the regular season coming together like that, that hasn't happened before. You know, you had Boston do it, but all those guys were seasoned and in there, and they were ready to sacrifice parts of their game. And I think these guys are realizing that they're going to have to sacrifice parts of their game and play differently, and they're starting to figure that out. But to focus on the offense early on would just be silly, because I think you'll put an undue pressure on those three guys who are under a ton of pressure anyway, and egos and all that other thing comes into play more so on offense than it does defense.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it forces them to work.
Defense isn't where you're going to find your identity. You know, they have to find their identity on offense. They have to figure out where they're going to make their plays and score their points. But again, just to be able to rally a team together, you know, when they make it a team goal to hold these teams, you know, under 80 or under 90, you know, it's that rallying point that's really going to carry them early and late. Because once they establish that, you know, you aren't going to score more than 85 points tonight. Once they establish that and make that the goal, then it forces teams to try to beat that goal, and then they might slip and forget about how any one of these guys will bust you for 30 quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think they're just waiting for that to happen. They're waiting, you know, they're allowing that to happen, figuring out where they're going to score within this offense. But calling on that team effort on defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's gonna be fantastic watching this develop. Because, you know, they're gonna beat the hell out of the Timberwolves. They're gonna beat the hell out of the you know, those kind of teams, the Bobcats and the Nets. They're gonna beat the hell out of those teams. But what's gonna be great to see is how they play against the Bostons and the Orlandos and the Lakers and the Portlands and the Oklahoma cities, you know, those kind of teams.
And the beauty of it is, especially early in these early years, when, you know, this is their first year together, you know,
mm-hmm.
You ain't waiting to see, you know, when they're going to score 130. You aren't going to wait to see when they score 140. But you're going to wait to see, can they hold Minnesota to 70 points? Can they hold, can they hold these teams to a hell of a lot less than they're used to scoring? You know, when they can start doing that, that just instills fear, because you know they can score. You know they can score. You're about to go out there and get embarrassed. They're about to come out here and embarrass your ass.
Yeah.
They don't care, you know, when they send that message that we're not really worried about how much we score. We just aren't going to let you score.
Yeah, and one thing we didn't get to talk about that I wanted to talk about on the show, and Devon, I think you were busy when Ray and I were talking about it, but Harrison Barnes, the kid from North Carolina, he's the first player in the history of the preseason All-American voting. He's the first freshman to ever be voted as a preseason All-American. Devon, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. So they voted. He's going to North Carolina. He's a freshman. He ain't played a game yet, but yet he's an All-American.
Is that a kid from Iowa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Young man ain't played a game. I haven't seen him play either. But the young man ain't played. I think it's just crazy that you got a freshman on All-American team. You know, and when you read the All-American team, it's not really like an amazing list of dudes either. It's like Juwan Johnson from Purdue, Jimmer Fredette from BYU. It's a rag muffin crew anyway. So maybe it just ain't that much talent in college basketball right now, and they had to put somebody on it. But
you think about all the.
There's been a lot of tight ass freshmen.
Right.
There's been a lot of good freshmen, and this kid better be something. You know, Chris Webber wasn't on it. You know, when he was a freshman. You know, he could have very well been on it. He led his team. I mean, Odin was amazing as a freshman. Derrick Rose. I mean, in the last 10 years, you know, the last 5 or 6 years, there have been some real good freshman ball players.
John Wall was preseason?
Nah, he wasn't preseason All-American. This is the first kid who was preseason All-American ever.
And that's what we talked about earlier. That's what's so baffling is you can think of, you know, a handful of guys that you would have thought would have already won that honor, you know, would have been the first.
Right.
I just can't fathom this kid being the first. But then when you, like you said, he hasn't played a game yet, and yet they're saying he's one of the best college basketball players in the nation.
He's one of the best
right
five
now.
College basketball players in the nation.
Right.
I mean, it's not like he made 13 preseason All-American. Right. He's first team preseason All-American.
Right. And you knew you
like again.
You talk
I haven't
about Hardaway,
seen this kid play.
You talk, you know, Anthony Hardaway and some of these other players that you just remember as freshmen. You know, Melo.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know,
Grant Hill.
You
know, I saw him play against a team from Illinois that was supposed to be a good team. They highlighted him on the high school games on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean he's a good player.
I know he's a good player.
He's making big numbers. If I watch him, he got a big to be a preseason All-American. And I think that says less about him and more about the state of college basketball.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that there we don't have a lot of talent out there that we just don't have any something's up with the college game.
Well, I mean, I think Kentucky's run last year said that. I mean, when you got a team full of freshmen like that, like, I mean, it wasn't even a team full of, like, really ridiculous freshmen. I mean, they were good, but for them to make to have the run that they had was kind of like, you know, really? And then for Butler to make the run that they had, it also says, like, if you get a team of upperclassmen who know how to play this game, they can make a run too.
Right.
And that's really all you need. You either need a talented bunch of babies or some grown men who've been playing this game for a minute and know what they're doing out there, and you can make a run. And then everybody else is kind of floating in between.
Well, that's, again, I think the most interesting thing that is that this is the first freshman All-American, you know, preseason.
I was shocked. I had to, like, go back and look. I'm, like, looking up records and stuff, like, for real? You know, thinking about the Carmelo Anthony's, you know, a Carmelo Anthony type. He wasn't a preseason All-American as a freshman. You know, or even Bobby Hurley or somebody along those lines who came in, or Jason Kidd.
But then you think about, you know, you think about all the players that jump straight to the NBA. You know, would they have been the first?
Right.
You know, would Kobe have been the first? You know, would LeBron have been the first?
Dwight Howard.
You know. Yeah, it's just a strange thing, you know. It's just, and I was thinking even farther back, like you know. And then I had to remember, you know, like Kareem, they didn't even play freshman ball, you know. They couldn't even play. they had to play on the freshman team.
Right.
Well, I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Pete Maravich came in, it was averaging 40-some points a game in college.
Can you imagine Will Chamberlain? How could Will Chamberlain come into to Kansas and not be a preseason
right.
all that? You know? How did you get
that? For real. It's kind of amazing, man. It's an interesting conversation. Maybe we'll bring it up next week and talk about it on the show with you. It just kind of blew me for a second, like, for real? And I think you're hitting it right on the head, Devon. You said it's less saying about him and saying more about the state of the college game where it's at right now that, you know, you would even consider, you know, having a freshman. And, again, if you look at the rest of the list, it's like, okay, I guess. You know, none of the names jump out at you. Yo, this guy is a excellent ball player. No matter what level he's playing at. You know, a lot of those guys on the list are good college athletes, and they'll be good college ball players, but you don't see them having much of a future beyond college.
Right. And I'm thinking, if I'm in the ACC, I'm like, I'm doing you.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I'm like, I'm doing you every night.
Exactly.
I'm doing you. I'm doing
exactly.
you 330.
Yeah, especially if you're at Duke.
Right.
You know, if you know Nolan Smith, you're finna take it to this young man.
Yeah.
And Nolan Smith ain't on the team, and he just came off an national championship season.
That's what I'm saying. I'm doing you in practice.
Yeah, so, well, I'm going to check out, fellas. I got to get
right,
bed. I got to get up early.
I'm going to email y'all the address stuff for me so we can take care of some of this stuff.
All right.
Right. Yeah, I've been waiting for I've been waiting for a check to pay you to get that money out. So,
yeah.
So send that out.
All right. Excellent.
I will.
Excellent. All right,
brother.
All right, man. Y'all take care.
Yeah. Peace.
Yep.